All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome to NLA's Open Forum. Today is Monday, August 4th, 2014. Let me see what we're going to do first. Well, we're going to honor the Lord first, so we're going to read a little bit of the Word of God before we get started. I chose three different books, a few verses out of each of them. First one is 2 Chronicles 7, verses 12 through 16. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there will be no rain. And a matter of fact, when we read in Revelations, he will shut up heaven that there will be no rain. Or if I command the locust to devour the land, and he will. Or if I send pestilence among my people, and he will. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. And the question is will he? You know, there is a verse in Luke 18, verse 8, says this, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Anyway, reading off the end of the Second Chronicles. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house. And what the Lord is speaking about here is the body of Christ. That's the house that he sanctified. That my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. In Ecclesiastes 12, 8 through 14, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And to really interpret that particular verse, I'd studied this some years back, and really it's saying, an exaggerated estimate of one's own appearance, wittiness, or qualities, all is worthless, trivial, and pointless, saith the preacher. And more, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails, fastened by the masters of assembly, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. And finally, in Revelation, the end of the chapter. Matter of fact, that's the end of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, very last few verses. We're going to look at the very last few verses, or very close to the last few verses of Revelation 22, verses 11 through 15. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right, or liberty, to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates of the city. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. So anyway, the key focus here, that we have to turn to his will and be obedient and listen to his word. Now, we did put up three videos. As a matter of fact, I think I just put them up this morning. Well, today. I put a few up last night, and I put one up today. They're brand new. If you go under the Juris tab, there is a new tab now. It's called Administrators tab. So if you click on the Administrators tab, you'll find I'm starting to set out a program. And eventually, we'll talk about what we're going to do with this later. But I'm setting up a program on a how-to. We spoke about this a couple of weeks ago, and we spoke about it last week, and I've got three videos up. And you can see there's a list of other categories or topics that need to be addressed so that we can prepare everybody for being able to come forward and take control of their states. What we need is people involved, and then they just need to follow the instructions. People will pick up on it quite quickly. It is pretty obvious and logical to some degree, but of course there is some knowledge and of the process and procedure, and we put it all together. And again, we're doing short videos on all of these subject matters, and in many cases we'll be also adding some paperwork with it. But what we did conclude, what we did complete was three videos, one on National Liberty Alliance state meetings. We've had a tremendous amount of problems over the past year. I'm constantly being called into different places where people have problems, and they're asking me to settle it, and I do the best I can. And I really do struggle to stay out of the state's business. But really, I've kind of had an epiphany on this and come to realize that I didn't give enough instruction really and focus on how to run and what is the primary focus of our state meetings. We all need to have them. They're extremely important. We're not going to get anywhere if every state is not having their own meeting. So I wrote out a criteria, and I put it on a video. It's a PowerPoint video, and laid out the do's and the don'ts. And I realized by doing this, we're going to protect ourselves and get rid of a lot of problems. And I think when people watch this video, and it's very short. I think it's 8 minutes or something, 10 minutes, I don't know. And again, I'm going to try to keep all these videos short, and yet they'll be filled with a lot of meat. But I think if everybody watches this video, they're going to agree that this is what needs to be done. I don't think we'll have much disagreement on it. But if anybody wants to discuss this video, they can come on Thursday night at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time right here in this room. We have the Thursday night program where we discuss legal matters, the law particularly. Not necessarily. Well, we do discuss legal matters to some degree, but we're focusing in on discussing the law. And this would be a great place because really we want to stay focused in on the common law, and that's the purpose of our meetings, is to become jurists and to prepare and to organize and to communicate and so on. Again, I'm not going to get into too much more. Watch the video. I'm going to send a email out tonight or tomorrow. And I'm going to make everybody, you know, through the email, I hope everybody's reading the emails because there's going to be some serious consequences or regrettable consequences or whatever you want to call it for those who start to break the rules. And again, I think people will see quite quickly that that this will fix it. Now, I did a conference with numerous people on this, and there was agreement in what we put together here and that this will probably solve most of our problems. Also, if people have a problem within their state that has to be dealt with, usually it's a character flaws and people, you know, maybe a certain character doesn't get along with another character. That's sometimes the problems. But I think more often it is the problems when people bring in up things that should not be brought up at our meetings. We have no business discussing. It has nothing to do with common law. It has nothing to do with being a jurist. It has nothing to do with reality at all. And so I think a lot of the problems are going to be gotten rid of because, you know, through that. But we're also going to set up something where if there is a dispute amongst the people in a particular state, that they turn to assist the state nearby and get, you know, three or four people from there to hear the story and let them make the decision instead of coming to me on what needs to be done. And again, you know, we have our vows, which gives us instructions, it gives us some principles. We have now these rules and layouts and criteria of how things run. So I think it's pretty clear upon the table, and if I missed anything, I'm sure someone will let me know, and we can always update that video. It's pretty easy for me to do that, and we can add in what we've missed. Now, I also did a administration orientation video, and this is kind of a on the one hand, it's premature, but on the other hand, it really isn't because it goes hand in hand with helping to solve problems with the state meeting. And I think you're going to get some insight on how to deal with people and how to, you know, deal with people in a way that's, you know, as polite and nice as we can on the one hand, but, you know, things that have to be done and we have to get somewhat stern on the other hand. But it's always a matter of giving people a lot of chances and giving them all the rope they need to hang themselves, so to speak. But we want to give the people a couple chances to help them change their thinking, their ways, their habits, their problems, whatever it is that's clashing within your states. So anyway, we'll continue to work on that if anybody else can come up with some other ideas. And again, we will discuss this on Saturday for anybody who wants to discuss it. And some of the restrictions we put forward, if people disagree with those restrictions, the place to bring it is on the Saturday meeting, and again, we'll discuss it. We can always change things around if it's necessary and add things on if it's necessary. Now, the second one, as I mentioned, was administrators orientation. Okay, again, another short video, but I think its timing is right. The third video we put up is America's Foundation. And this is a PowerPoint I had done, goodness, a couple of years ago because I did it with the committeemen. And it's got to be, 2010 maybe we did this. So all I did was I kind of updated it a little bit and you know, re-spoke on the PowerPoint and put it up there. And again, this is going to give you some really, really great insight on the minds of our founding fathers. You really want to know the truth about the mindset of our founding fathers, this is the video to watch. I think that video is maybe, I don't know, 12, 15 minutes long. Again, I try to keep them short. Now, there's a lot of other subject matters that we don't have videos for, but I do have them listed up, and I did that purposely so people can go through there, and if they can think of something I missed, and I'm sure I'm going to go through there and probably add some more too, but if anybody can think of anything I missed that we need to know how to do this. You know, we did a resolution, and the resolution sets forth court access, funding, hiring, salaries, and administration. And this is a written document, and we'll do a video on it, too. The phone systems, how it works, how to process the phone calls, so on and so forth. The image that the grand jury administrator should have, we need to put forth an image. And it needs to be the same everywhere. It's, of course, called the image of justice. filing a system set up, investigating procedures, how to structure and write an information, how to structure and write an indictment, how to structure and I did indictment twice. That should have been presentment. I'll change that. Judges, orientation and resolving the problems with judges. One of the first things we need to do. Same thing with prosecutors, both state and federal. Sheriffs, orientating them and resolving the problems that they have. State legislators, same thing. U.S. legislators, governor, same thing. Dealing with the armories, militia, and emergency processes in our counties. The people's business, no case to be considered until all of the aforesaid is complete. We cannot hear a case on people until we bring together these things prior. Now, there will be a couple of national problems we're going to deal with, and when I say national, really, let's see how I can put this. You know, we're not going to do anything crazy. We're not going to go after some big corporation, and you know what ones I might be thinking of. We're not going to go after any of those things. But there are some things we have to address, and the things that we have to address should strengthen us once we start to get in here. And one of these things we might address as we're moving into the process. And again, I will talk about that when the time comes. Anyway, to move on this, the people's business. Okay, jury orientation process, jury access to assistance. You know, these juries, when they get going and seated, and they're on their own a lot of the time, when they need help or assistance, they need to have access to it, to us. And also, we're not going to permit anyone to intimidate them or bother them when they're in a private session. In fact, nobody bothers the jury unless they go through the administrators, but we'll get into that. let's see, grand jury access to the people. We have a system setting up for that. Memorandums to county clerks, chief court clerks, commissioners, servants access to attorneys. Mandatory civics courses for all government employees, elected and appointed officials. Again, we have a plan, a how-to focus in. They're going to be required. Every person that works for the government, they are going to learn the Constitution or they can leave their job, whether they're hired, elected, or whatever. How are we going to enforce that? Well, that we'll talk about in these videos. Then there's some miscellaneous stuff. Mandatory civics course for schools. We'll see if we can't put a textbook together. That's going to take some time, but we need to do that. We've got to find that time. And then the national plan. So those are kind of the subject topics we have listed out here right now. And again, if anybody can think of others, catch me on a Monday or a Saturday, or a Monday or a Thursday. Okay. Let's see what else we have. I'm not sure whether we had this last week before we left, but we got 48 states on board right now. The only two states we're missing is North Dakota and Iowa. I understand, and I'll be corrected tonight if I'm in error here, I understand North Dakota is coming in around the 7th, and I understand at this point Iowa still has nobody to run an election. They have no state leadership whatsoever. So anybody knows anybody in Iowa, give them a jingle, get them out to National Liberty Alliance, and tell them we need help. You guys are the only ones that haven't jumped on board onto this program we've got going. Everybody else, if they don't know anybody in Iowa, maybe they can kind of search the internet and find Iowa Liberty Groups and get a hold of some of the Liberty Group leaders. Get them out to National Liberty Alliance. Tell them what's going on. We need you guys on board. Let's go. So everybody should be thinking about how they might be able to do that. Now, we also put up a donation goal. We've reached 38%. We really need some money, seriously, and I'm going to read a paper tonight, which is what we're looking to file. We calculated in order to send this letter out. Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Right now, we're seeking an $8,000 goal to cover all of the bills and cover the cost of putting up the new information on the site and also some upgrades on the site. Let's see, books. The books. There are problems, the books. The books were supposed to be delivered Friday, and they told me at noontime, and I waited till like 4 o'clock, and I started making phone calls, and finally they got back to me at 5 to tell me that they forgot, they somehow didn't get on the truck. So they didn't deliver over the weekend, so they're going to deliver Monday. They did come Monday this afternoon, and when he tried to bring them, all the materials, the pallets of the books off with a forklift, the hydraulics on the truck wasn't working. So they're coming back on tomorrow with a different truck, or are they going to repair that? What are they going to do? Okay. So we should have the books in tomorrow. We got the boxes ordered. I've been doing a lot of investigating on prices for mailing them out. And so this week, I think within a couple of days, tomorrow and the next day, 2-3 days, all the orders should be out and we should be caught up. And we pretty much will be pushing the orders out at that point as they come in. As I mentioned, the 3 instructional videos. Okay, that's very important that everybody get up there to do it, to take a look. I'll tell you what, these instruction videos is really, really important. Nobody should drag their feet on this. At the end of this program tonight or tomorrow, because it's going to be late, so tomorrow, listen to these videos, watch them. And there are very important rules, particularly that have been set up on NLA state meetings, and we don't want to hear excuses. If people, again, disagree with some of this, we're open for conversation. And we will be very specific on why. And we'll try to explain in detail why we're restricting certain things in NLA meetings. And I think, again, most people is going to agree with this. Okay, I think that covers all of the updates. Let's see. Okay, yeah, that pretty much covers all the updates. Okay, I'm going to read a paper. This is a true bill. We wrote this last week, and We might make some changes in here, but basically this is it. And it's and I mentioned this last week. It is probably the most bold paper we've written to date, in my opinion. And we really get some strong language here. We really call the spade the spade, and we're putting it on the record. Now, we discovered, and my numbers may not be exact, but they should be close enough. We discovered that there are about 90, well, maybe it was 60, yeah, I think it was 90, 90 trial courts on the federal level. Now, there's more courthouses than that, but there are 90 districts. That's the key. So we're going to file this information in all 90 courthouses across the United States. So they're really going to know we're here. In order to make this effective, it must be done on the same day. But let me finish off what we're doing. We discovered and went out, and we found that there are 1,850, roughly. Your mic, Gerard. Gerard, you're coming through.
Oh, sorry.
There is roughly about 1,850, let's say almost 1,900 judges, federal judges, throughout the United States. So we've got a list of all those judges. There are 12 or 13 appellate courts on the federal district. So the first order of business, when people go to court, that is, we're not going to court, but the first order of business, they go to the trial court, then they go to the appellate court, then after that, they get a shot possibly at the United States Supreme Court. We're not going to court. We're going to command these people to obey the law, expose the law that's being breached, talk about the crime and RICO and conspiracy. That's national. It's a nationwide conspiracy. And these people have a duty to fix it. And this is what this paper is going to talk about. So, we'll read that in a minute. So now, in order to do this, we calculated, I think we're going to have maybe, 12, 14, 15 pages per letter. So if we total up the letters, we say, let's say there's 1,900 judges, roughly speaking. Let's say there's 80 courts and 12, appellate courts. So it's just about 2,000. So we have to send out 2,000 letters. All of the courts that we're going to file in, 80 of them, we have to do a return address, self-addressed stamped envelope with a return address on it, and an extra paper in it for them to stamp, time stamp it and send it back to us. We're also going to ask for all these judges we're going to read about to mail it to New York. And we'll talk about what we're going to do with that, those letters that come into New York from the judges, which is really a writ of mandamus that we're asking them, we're commanding them to sign. Now, all of these have to go out at the same time. Let's say there's about 2,000 altogether. And I calculated roughly if it's $1.50 in mailing and $1.50 in printing and materials, envelopes and stuff, that's $3. $3 times 2,000 is about $6,000. So we're going to need about $6,000-$7,000. I haven't, this is just a rough estimate. So we're presuming it's about 3 ounces. I should check the ounces on 12 or 15 pages and see. I think it does work to about 3 ounces, and then we can calculate the price there. So anyway, that's what our goal is. That's the separate goal from what's on the site right now. Now, this is something we decided to do, and we're not really bypassing anything, but we're moving ahead quicker this way by doing all the mailing right now, right out of New York. We'll get 6 or 12 volunteers together in a back room at Denny's or something, and we'll have coffee and lunch and whatever it takes to get this job done. But we need $6,000 to purchase all of the stamps, the envelopes, and the paper, and have the printing done. And so that's a goal we really need. So anybody who can really give, this is the time to give. We really need to go forward with this. And when we read the paper, you're going to see how important this is. This will poise us. If they do not respond, it'll poise us to the point where we can now go directly to the United States Supreme Court and go up to Scalia, because we would have exhausted everything, and we would have shown to that court that the entire judicial system of the within the United States has totally failed. We've already shown that New York State courts have failed. We know that every state in the union is going to fail, but we did prove that New York State court system has failed. We proved that the people running that program, there are 8 executive judges, that they're all on the take, they're all guilty of RICO, they're all guilty of conspiracy, they all belong in jail. We've proven that, and we're going to see to it that justice is going to be done. Now, it's not for me to decide what the punishment is. That's the jury. And all we need to do is bring it to the jury. It's already been to the grand jury. The grand jury is indicted, so we're done with that. It's a matter of the people to make their decision on what they want to do, and we'll teach them about mercy, and we'll teach them about justice, and I'm sure they'll do the right thing. So that's where we're at in New York. We've shown that it just doesn't. It's not working. It's failed, and the whole system has collapsed. Now, when we go through the federal system, I don't think we're going to find that the entire federal system has collapsed. I really don't think that's going to happen. And after I read the letter, we're going to talk a little bit about that, and I'm going to give my opinion and thoughts why I don't think it's going to collapse. Someone might want to remind me if I forget when I get to the end that I was going to bring that up, but in any event. So let me get right to the paper. We'll read it now. First page is a file on demand. Now, this has not been posted yet. I'm going to post this tonight or tomorrow. It depends on how I feel tonight, because I get out of here at midnight, and I try to get the recording posted up. And so I might not get to this till tomorrow morning, but it will be posted tonight or tomorrow morning. And it'll be posted under news, where we always post it. Okay, the file on demand I'm not going to read. We've read this before, and everybody could read that themselves. Now, this explains the law to the clerk, the requirement for them to file. The date on this paper right now is off because I put August 1st, but that'll be changed when we send it out. So let me start reading it. Now, I went out about 2 weeks ago or so, because I started to realize we were going to do something that we never planned to do, and at least not now. And we didn't think we'd really have to do it, but I can see not only is this one incident where we have to do it, we may have 2 or 3 other incidences where we're going to have to do this. And that is come as Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury. So we have on the bottom of this paper 48 seals. The 48 states that have been constituted, we have 48 seals. And then we have a Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury seal, and that's an impression seal. And the foreman will put their signature on it, and this is the information we're sending in. Okay, it's called a True Bill of Information under Common Law, and it starts off with just a small paragraph of a court case, And a couple of small paragraphs underneath that, which is the second, it's the cover page. So, and then after that, we get into the meat and potatoes. But it starts off as such: a true bill of information under common law. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside supreme law finds lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence. No higher duty rests upon this court than to exert its full authority to prevent all violations of the principles of the Constitution. Downs versus Bidwell, 1909. Let this information serve notice to all magistrates, judges, patriots, that an evil day has arrived in America, and that all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is that good men do nothing, a true maxim by an unknown author. Therefore, be forewarned, silence can only be equated with fraud, where there is a legal or moral duty to speak, or where an inquiry left unanswered would be intentionally misleading. United States versus Tweel. The Constitution for the United States of America states, Article 3, Section 1, the judicial powers of the United States shall be vested in one Supreme Court, and in such inferior courts as the Congress may from time to time ordain and establish. Article 3, Section 2. The judicial power shall extend to all cases in law and equity arising under this Constitution. We, the people, gave authority to Congress to create district courts of the United States, also known as Article III inferior courts, to the one Supreme Court. The words district court of the United States commonly described constitutional courts created under Article III of the Constitution, not the legislative courts, which have long been the courts of the territories. Morkini versus the United States. The only judicial power we, the people, gave to federal courts are under law and equity, and it is expected that when the people visit their courts for justice, that they are entering into common law courts of record. People have the unalienable right of an impartial grand jury, a speedy and a public trial, and an impartial jury, not to be witnessed against themselves, nor deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, and no fact tried by the jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States. Hang on one second. I just want to move myself so I can see, make sure I stay online here. Article 3, Section 2. The trial of all crimes except in cases of impeachment shall be by jury. Amendment 5. No person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or an indictment of a grand jury, nor shall they be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against themselves, nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Amendment 6. In all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury. Amendment 7. In suits of common law, where the value of controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved, and no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise reexamined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of common law. And the rules of common law say it can't be tried ever unless someone's rights were violated by that jury. And so if, of course, the Supreme Court was to realize that, they could do something about that. But anyway, the point is it can't, nothing can question them. Whatever their decision is, that's what it is. Article 4, Section 3 gives no power to the legislators that would create an anti-constitutional court. As anti-constitutionalists, here and after progressives, would have us to believe, operating within the 50 United States. The only purpose of these courts is to fleece the people. Progressive deceitfully deceives the name of these courts as United States District Courts, thereby creating a foreign court, which is a fictitious corporation used to conceal fraud. Article 4, Section 3, Congress shall have power to dispose of and make any needful rules and regulations respecting the territories of other properties belonging to the United States. United States district courts have only such jurisdiction as is conferred by an act of Congress under the Constitution. That's Hubbard versus Ammerman. The United States district courts are not courts of general jurisdiction. They have no jurisdiction except as prescribed by Congress pursuant to Article 3 of the Constitution. It's only an Article 3 court. There is no other. Graves versus Sneard. 28 U.S. Code 130, subsection 132, defines the creation of a district court as a court of record. Isn't that interesting? The 28 U.S. Code, subsection 132, creation and composition of district courts. There shall be in each judicial district a district court, which shall be a court of record known as the United States District Court for the district. Now, this is very important to pay attention to the word game here. Now, the United States District Court for the district is in 28 U.S. Code S-132, and that's the court that name that they're going by that they flipped over to become It certainly is not a court of law. It's not even a court of equity. It's chancery. It's a chancery court. And a chancery court, and we could discuss this in detail on Saturday if people are on Thursday if people are interested. A chancery court, the judge gets to act as king. Whatever he says goes. That's chancery court. That's why you don't get no justice there. That's why you got to challenge it and call it the fraud for what it is, and that's your battle. A court of record is a judicial tribunal having attributes and exercising functions independently of the person of the magistrate designed generally to hold it, and proceeding according to the course of the common law. Its acts and proceedings being controlled by a perpetual memorial, Jones versus Jones and a whole bunch of other cases. The judgment of a court of record whose jurisdiction is final is as conclusive on all the world as the judgment of this court would be. That's the United States Supreme Court, the one United States Supreme Court speaking, which is the top dog of the land, second only to the people. Is conclusive of all the world as the judgment of this court would be. It is as conclusive on this court as on other courts. It puts an end to the inquiry concerning the facts by deciding it. That's the power of the grand jury. We put an end to the conclusion by deciding the facts, period. End of subject, that's what we're doing. We're doing this with this information right here. Ex parte Watkins 3 Peter. The operating of a deceptive United States District Court not of record on the soil of the 50 United States of America is a conspiracy to overthrow the United States of America. The epitome of RICO, in violation of 18 U.S.C. 1962, a direct violation of Article 4, Section 4, and Article 6, Section 2. Whereas the duty of magistrate judges are to uphold the common law, to guarantee to every state in the Union a republican form of government, and protect each of them against invasion. Instead, progressive legislators committed high treason. And any magistrate judge that upholds such an unholy alliance with said traitorous legislators would be guilty of the same and have no immunity. Any magistrate judge that does not act now to save the republic or remain silent is a co-conspirator and guilty of high treason. 18 U.S. Code 2382, misprism of treason. Whoever, owing allegiance to the United States and having knowledge of a commission of any treason against them, conceals and does not as soon as may be disclosed and may be known of the same to the president or some judge of the United States or to the governor or some judge or justice of a particular state is guilty of mistreason or misprison of treason and shall be fined under the title or imprisoned not more than 7 years or both. Article 3, Section 3, treason against the United States shall consist only in levering war against them or adhering to the enemy, giving them aid and comfort. Let me repeat the second part. Adhering to their enemy, giving them aid and comfort. They are conspirators, the guilty of treason. Article 4, Section 2, the Constitution and the laws of the United States, which shall be made in pursuant thereof, and all the treaties made, of which shall be made under the authority of the United States shall be the supreme law of the land, and the judges in every state shall be bound thereby. Anything in the Constitution or laws of any state, to the contrary, notwithstanding. These people have no excuse. Article 4, Section 4, the United States shall guarantee in every state in the Union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislation or of the executive when the legislator cannot be convened against domestic violence. The 50 United States are not geographically within the District of Columbia as fiction would have some believe. We, the people, are not a commodity, merchandise, or cattle, as fiction would have some believe. We the people are not subjects or indentured servants of the fictional United States, as fiction would have some believe. The brick-and-mortar buildings that house the inferior federal courts of the one Supreme Court throughout the Union belongs to the people. Said courts were ordained and established by Congress under the authority of the people. We the people paid to build them, upkeep them, furnish them, man them, and pay the salaries of all elected, appointed, or hired personnel in them. These courts are district courts of the United States that were hijacked by progressives operating as United States district courts, and the awakened people are now rising to take back our courts and our republic. Let this true bill serve also as an addendum for all previous papers filed by the Unified Common Law Grand Juries to change all papers that have the term United States District Court to be replaced with the term District Court of the United States. This action is not to be construed to give any authority to the fictional fraud upon the people, but to reveal the fraud and to take the wind out of the sails of those who believe such magic phrases offer immunity. Decency, scrutiny, security. Decency, security, and liberty alike demand that magistrates, judges be subject to the same rules of conduct that are commanded to the people. In a court of laws, existence of the court will be imperiled if it fails to observe the law scrupulously. Crime is contagious. If magistrates, judges become a lawbreaker, it breeds contempt for the law. It invites every man to become a law unto himself. And against that pernicious doctrine, we the people have resolutely set our face. Therefore, we command all magistrate judges to obey the law of the land and uphold justice, or face the serious legal consequences that is arising from the people through the Unified Common Law Grand Juries now constituted in every county of the 48 states, totaling 2,990 of the 3,142 counties within the United States and rising. A verified copy under seal of this true bill of information via United States Postal Service has been filed in all federal district courts in the 50 United States, in all federal appellate courts in the 50 United States, and sent to all federal judges, magistrates in 50 United States for action concerning the aforesaid high crimes and misdemeanors committed by the state and federal magistrate judges. We, the tribunal, under seal and our own authority, protected by the Fifth Amendment's common law, move the judges, magistrates of the district courts to perform enforcement through a writ of mandamus, see attached, necessary to reinstate the law and order, thereby directing all federal, state, county, city, town, and village judges, magistrates, courts clerks, county sheriffs, and the United States Marshals as follows. All magistrate judges are to obey the law of the land, i.e. common law, specifically defined in the Constitution for the United States of America, Article 6, Clause 2. All federal judges, all federal, state, county, city, town, and village judges, magistrates, are to obey under penalty of 18 U.S.C., subsection 2071, law of the land, and not to conceal, remove, mutilate any record, proceeding, paper, document, or other thing filed with the court clerk or county clerk by the common law grand jury. All federal, state, county, city, town, village judge magistrates are to obey under penalty of 18 U.S.C. 1512, law of the land, are not to alter, destroy, mutilate, or conceal an object which intend to impair the object integrity or availability for use in an official proceeding, or intimidate, threaten, or corruptly persuade another person to withhold a record, documents, or other objects from an official proceeding, or obstruct, influences, or impedes any official proceeding. All clerks under penalty of 18 U.S.C. 2071, law of the land, are not to conceal, remove, mutilate any record, proceeding, paper, document, or other thing filed with the court or county. All clerks under penalty of 18 U.S.C. 2076, law of the land, are to file and are not to refuse or neglect to make or forward any report, certificate, statement, or document as required by law. The sheriffs took an oath to support and defend the Constitution for the United States of America. Consequently, as per Article 6, Clause 2, the laws of the United States ought to be obeyed. Therefore, upon a sworn affidavit and or under seal of the Fifth Amendment common law grand jury concerning violations by judges and clerks of 18 U.S.C. 2071, 18 U.S.C. 1512, U.S.C. 18 U.S.C. 2071, 2076, or any other law of the United States of America ought to arrest the same for said offenses. Should the sheriff fail to perform his duties upon a sworn affidavit and or under seal of the Fifth Amendment common law grand jury concerning said violations, the U.S. Marshal shall arrest the sheriff, and the undersheriff shall perform said duties in his place. Quoting the case, United States v. Williams, Justice Anton Scalia, writing for the majority, said, because the grand jury is an institution separate from the courts over whose functioning the courts do not preside, no supervisory judicial authority exists. Rooted in long centuries of Anglo-American history, the grand jury is mentioned in the Bill of Rights, but not in the body of the Constitution. It has not been textually assigned, and therefore to any of the branches described in the first three articles. It is a constitutional fixture in its own right. In fact, the whole theory of its function is that it belongs to no branch of the institutional government, serving as a kind of a buffer or referee between the government and the people. Although the grand jury normally operates, of course, in the courthouse and under judicial auspices, its institutional relationship with the judicial branch has traditionally been, so to speak, as arm's length, which means they never really grab hold of us. Recognizing the tradition of independence, we have said that the Fifth Amendment's constitutional guarantee presupposes an investigative body acting independently of either prosecuting attorney or judge. Given the grand jury's operational separateness from its constitutional court, it should come to no surprise that we have been reluctant to invoke the judicial supervisory power as a basis for prescribing modes of the grand jury's procedure, and the grand jury is unfettered by any technical rules. Judges, clerks, or anyone else are not to prevent, obstruct, or interfere with the people's access into the courts in order for the people to operate in the courthouse under judicial auspices for the administration of the common law juries. The truth be known, experience has shown, if we were to indict and thereby remove from office all magistrate judges that are not in good behavior, we suspect very few magistrate judges would survive. Therefore, let this true bill of information serve as an olive branch to all federal magistrate judges, and let it be known that we are not concerned with your past sins. We are not on a witch hunt. Our only desire is to save the Republic and preserve the blessings of liberty. Our only requirement is that you obey this order and the law of the land from this point forward, and together we will move forward and refound our American... Hang on a second, trying to move this thing forward. Refound... I lost my place. Okay. Refound our American heritage. If you refuse, we the people will move towards indictment and thereby remove from office every magistrate judge that continues in silence and does not act. You have 7 days from the date of this bill to act or face the wrath of we the people, from which there will be no mercy. It surely will come. Duty requires it. We promise. The Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, stewards of the common law, on behalf of the people, order all recipients of this information to sign and seal the attached mandamus immediately and mail it to the Unified United States Common Law Grand Jury, P.O. Box 59, Valhalla, New York, 10595, signed and sealed, dated with an impressed seal, and followed by 48 seals of the 48 states that have been constituted. And that brings us to the end of the document. Now, the copy of the mandamus, we've read that once before. It was pretty much the same. We're going to do pretty much the same one. I'm going to check it out, and we'll have the second opportunity to comb through it, make sure we're very tight on it, and we cover all our bases on this, so we might add a little more. But we will post that up also. We'll try to work on that tomorrow, maybe get it posted in the next 24 hours. So we'll have that posted up there also. So anyway, that is the information that we intend on sending to every federal judge in the United States, every trial court on the federal district level, every appellate court on the federal district level. And now, at that point, we will be poised for the United States Supreme Court if necessary. Again, I do not think it'll be necessary. There are other things going on that it's kind of coming in choppy information. I haven't read the documents yet, and we'll get back to you next week on that. Very interesting move that the one court did, but nothing that it was really dumb. It really works right into our hands again. They never cease to amaze us. They really don't. Every move they make, they just get themselves in more trouble. And so we'll talk about that next week. I think this is enough to digest for the night. Now, I did go out to a place called, goodness, I got a note here somewhere. What's the name of that place, Gerard, that you put up to try to raise funds? Kickstart.
Yeah, Kickstart.
Okay, I don't know how many people have heard of Kickstart. Now, I went out there and I filled out most of the papers, but I had some other things that I have to get done, and I got to get out there and tonight or tomorrow. I want to get out there and take care of it and get it up there. So we're going to try to raise some money off the public. A lot of people have been successful on this Kickstarter, and they've raised a heck of a lot of money. And so I think we have an opportunity to raise some good money to really give us a rocket ship here. And so we put together a video. We put everything together. It's a very short video, and we put the information, and we're going to file it. I'm hoping maybe tomorrow to get it on board and moving, or the day after, but very soon, in the next few days. As soon as we do that, we're going to send out an email requesting everybody, to click on it to go to that page. And when you go to that page, the point of going to the page is the page that gets a lot of traffic. It will push us up to the front page. And if we can get onto the front page with one of the first things people see when they come on the site, we have a great opportunity, and we're going to reveal to them the emergency that we are now facing and that we, the people, are acting upon, and invite these people to help us and even join us. But when you go to this page, if it's at all possible, please donate $5 or more. Because, again, getting the numbers of people donating, and it doesn't have to be a lot. I mean, if you get 1,000 people donate $5, all of a sudden that pushes your ranking up. If you get 1,000 or 2,000 people or 3,000 people hitting the page to look at it and watching the video, again, that's what's going to get us on the front page. It's going to get us where people will see us, and then we'll have a better opportunity in order to achieve the goal through that process. To get quite a bit of money and really push this thing forward. So again, we're asking for everyone's help. Please, everyone, don't think, whenever we ask for help, please do not think the other guy is going to do it. Don't get to the point where you say you're going to do it in your own mind, and then you never get around to it, or you kind of don't have the time, and you say, someone else will take care of it. I got these things I got to take care of. No, forget about it. They're not doing it. You got to do it. We got to do it. This is our nation we need to save. This is your country. Your state is your country. And all our countries are sealed together in a union. And we need to save the republic. We need to save our countries. We need to save the nation. We please do not put this off. Now is the time to become active. Now is the time to come to every meeting you possibly can. You know, we have a Tuesday night leadership meeting. If you're not aware of it, go out to the Monday page, and we got all the information on the Monday page, the Monday call page. We have the Monday meeting, the Tuesday meeting, the Wednesday meeting, the Thursday meeting, and the Saturday meeting. Get to whatever meetings you can. Leadership meetings are very important. They're short. Okay, the state meeting should be a short meeting. It's once a month. The whole thing is for building up the membership, getting people organized, activating people, and just getting them active and focused and getting ready, because we're ready to go forward. On this is it. This is what national liberty has been created for. This is where we're heading. We are at that point. We are at the precipice right here, right now, today. And we need all hands on deck. We need everybody involved at all times as much as possible. We realize everybody has a life. They have children, maybe, and they have other duties and work and so on. But participate as much as you can. Support us as much as you can. Click the link to get out to the thing. Give us $5 out there. Help to pump those numbers up. Please, we got to get this done. You know what? If we lose the nations, it's because you didn't do it. That if we lose this war against these SOBs, it's because you didn't do your job. We have the opportunity to do it. And I trust that the Lord is going to bless this to work. But it's only going to happen if we come with a bent knee and get serious and do the job. There is nothing in this life more important at this point, save God himself, for you doing the duty that you have to do today. Do it for your posterity. Do it for your neighbors, your spouse. Do it for your children. Do it for yourself. Do it for God. Just do it. It must be done. All right. I guess that brings us to the end of that. Let's open up the mics.
I got something I want to ask.
Go ahead, Gerard, please. By the way, anybody, I don't see anybody in the, I'm in lecture. Let me move over to
you've been in lecture.
Q&A. Yeah.
You've been lecturing for a long time now.
I'm in Q&A. Cool. Anybody wants to get in Q&A, I'm sure there's people who want to get it. Go ahead, Gerard.
Listen, this true bill that you have here, which is very powerful, I think, you're gonna be posting it now, right? And that's going to be before we're sending it out. So that's sort of pulling the curtain back on this thing. Do you think that's an advantage for us or a disadvantage? I mean, posting this before the judges get it.
Right.
I mean,
it has an advantage and it has a disadvantage.
That's what I – okay. That's sort of where I was going.
And the question is which way do you go? I'm leaning towards the idea we do things in the light anyway. Let them get the pre-warn if they want it. Look at it. The enemy's in the room with us tonight. Think not that they don't know what we're doing. They know everything we're doing, okay? I don't know that the high rankers of the New World Order are here. I don't know that their agents are here. I don't know that, and who knows? God could keep them blind for quite a bit or more time. But we do know that all of those people that are involved in the court system here in New York State, we know that those people are listening. They know a lot about me already. I was surprised on a phone call. I talked about a phone call that we had a couple of, you know, I think it was last week or the week before. I talked about a phone call. Guy knew exactly who I was. I never gave him my name. I didn't even say many words. And he must have had my, saw the caller ID, and he knew exactly who I was. He said, "You're becoming pretty popular, aren't you?" I said, "I guess so." And he says, "You know, freedom is popular." I don't know. I don't remember exactly what I said, but I probably said something like that. And that's a Ron Paul thing anyway. But the thing is that these people are listening, they're watching, they're trying to intimidate. You know, bring it on, bring it on. Because if they try to intimidate me, I know I'm going to put it off on the housetops. I don't care. I'm going to tell everybody. So, and that's what all of us should do. Who are these people? We need to stick together. As our founding fathers said, we're either going to hang separately or hang together. Which one is it? You're going to hang unless we stop these SOBs from going forward and destroying everything that is good. You know. So anyway, I kind of lean towards posting it. And unless we start to get a lot of resistance in our conversations tonight, then we'll reconsider it maybe. But other than that, I lean that way.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Anything else, Gerard, you want to put in there?
Oh, that's good. We should open the floor up and see what people have to say and get moving.
Okay, 239-5. I don't know why that jumped ahead. 239-851.
Yeah, hi, John. This is Ron Angel.
Hey,
in Florida.
How you doing, Ron?
I'm fine. I was really interested in the U.S. Marshal arresting corrupt sheriffs because, as it stands, I cannot report any crime in Florida.
Right.
And,
well, nobody can anyways.
I mean, it's unbelievable. And so I'm curious about that. Do you think, I mean, we know that the CIA has drug infiltration for many decades, and that's completely corrupt. I've never seen a more corrupt state than Florida. they're all complicit in the crimes.
You multiply that by 50 states, because there's no different in New York and Oregon and Washington and Texas and Arkansas, and I don't care where you go. It is a mess everywhere. Every single court is corrupt in the United States. Every single one of them. I want to retract that. There are some courts that are out there that I've heard about, one of which I heard from Bill Thornton, of a district court out in the District of Columbia, no less, out in Washington, D.C., that doesn't fly the fringe and actually considers and hears these kind of cases. And I guess it's hard to get in there. But he also spoke particularly about a group of judges that belonged to an association that were very interested in common law. And it sounded like they supported it, and it seems like that case went good for him that he was before that judge, because he didn't violate any of the common law in that case. So that being said and done, that's why we're doing a shotgun approach. That's why we're filing it in every single district court in the United States.
Very smart.
And send it to every single judge.
I have a question, too. Conflict of interest. Do the sheriffs have CIA clearance? And remember, George Bush Sr. was director of the CIA in 1978. Are they still answering to the Bush oligarchy? Or, you know, there's been many, you know, there was a Jeb Bush governor of Florida. Florida's an extremely, like I said, corrupt state. From my research, a book by Rodney Stitch, who was a World War II
hero. Very few sheriff's offices did not comply. Almost every sheriff office pretty much did comply, because they took the money, they took the funds, they took all the toys and everything else. And this is the way they work, and then they capture them, and then they lock them in a box, and it's hard to get out, and that's their problem. And by the way, hang on, because I don't want to forget this. You said something that sparked off a memory of something that's coming up. What's that guy's name? Rod Class. Rod Class is pretty much is in a line with us. He's got. I've read and heard some of his stuff, and someone went through some stuff of what his positions are, which is right in line with us. And they set up an arrangement to have a meeting on talk show this Wednesday. As soon as I get the information, I'll put out the access code and everything, and anybody who wants to attend that this Wednesday is welcome to attend it. I think it's going to be an interview type thing, him interviewing me. I mean, or it may be a discussion. I don't know how it's going to run, but one way or the other, it'll be very interesting if we can connect.
Regular show. I think that's the show. You're going to be on his normal talk show, right?
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Anyway. Right, so we'll send that in. Do we have the information yet on that, Gerard?
I have not seen it, no.
Okay. Maybe you can send an email to that guy to set it up and get the info.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. And we will get it out. I'll try to get it out tomorrow, because the next day is Wednesday. I'm sorry. Go ahead, finish off what you wanted to say now.
Well, I wanted to ask, the conflict of interest, they're working for a county as a sheriff. And my question is, do they have CIA clearance, and can we find out if they do? That would constitute a conflict of interest, because they would be answering, do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're as dumb as a box of rocks. I don't know of any sheriff. There might be one or two out there I've seen on YouTube that seem to be pretty witty and on top of things, and they might be able to truly fulfill the role of a sheriff. But generally speaking, sheriffs are as dumb as a box of rocks. First of all, they're law enforcement, and then second of all, they're politicians. What a mixture, okay? And we got to get them out of the dirty politics stuff. And, you know, everybody has to play in this dirty politics, and that's the thing we're going to fix once we get in. We're going to fix that so that they don't have to play in that. But the problem is they're in courts all day long, every day, them and the bailiffs. And usually the bailiffs are controlled by the sheriff's department, I believe. But in any event, some of the courts we go into, it's actually the sheriff deputies. And so they're in the courts. And they watch the crimes being committed every day in front of their face. Every single day, day in and day out. Numerous crimes every single day. And yet they don't recognize them as crimes because they're ignorant to the Constitution. They're ignorant to the true law. And
well,
so we have to re-educate.
Yeah. I gave the Lee County Sheriff in Florida a copy of the Conspiracy of Silence, the Bush pedophilia thing that took place. There's a movie called The Conspiracy of Silence, and it never came out because Bush pulled it, Bush Sr. and Reagan. And there's all sorts of information on it. It was also called the Franklin Financial Cover-Up Scandal. I gave the sheriff here a copy of that. Bush has a house in Boca Grande Island in Lee County, Florida, just next to Charlotte County and Punta Gorda. You've got to go through Charlotte County to get to his house in Lee County. It's all been set up that way. It's like he's got a fortress out here, okay, a compound. Like he's got a compound in Texas, like he has a compound in Maine, like he has a compound in Paraguay. Bush has 400,000 hectares in Paraguay that's guarded by U.S. military personnel. Okay, and that's because there's no extradition in Paraguay for crimes and war crimes. But I gave him all this. I also gave him a copy of the misprison of felon.
Yeah, but they're not going to act on that. That's too radical for them. It to them, it's fiction.
Oh, it's not fiction. And I was actually tortured.
To them. No. Yes. They see reality as fiction and fiction as reality. Just like anybody in the court system or the judicial system or even the all of the police forces, the sheriffs, law enforcement. They've been trained in fiction and not law. And they think we're wackos until they wake up. And that's okay. We'll let them continue to be the way they are because once we get in, we'll put the order in and they won't have any choice but to start to... Hardcore reality is going to hit them real hard very quickly. And either they're going to comply or they're going to lose their jobs.
But there's another issue here,
you know,
too.
Go ahead.
The other issue is, and we discovered it when we went around trying to have the sheriff arrest a public official for a wrongdoing, and we eventually convinced the investigator that this was a crime. And what he revealed to us, he said, listen, this is a elected official. He said, I can take your affidavit or, you know, your sworn complaint. He said, but I have to hand it over to the prosecutor because I don't have the powers to subpoena her office to get the evidence that I need. So ultimately, it goes to the prosecutor, and the prosecutor does the investigation. So now, let's say we talk that sheriff into arresting that particular clerk. What do you think is going to happen to that sheriff? If that sheriff went in and arrested her, the case still goes to the prosecutor. The prosecutor could let it sit there. The prosecutor could throw it out.
He'll throw it out.
I don't think this is a crime. So what happens is the sheriff is the top cop and all that stuff. That's great. We got a Supreme Court ruling that says so. But there's even the best sheriff in the land is not going to go in and arrest some public official, go out there with his sword out, up the hill, and when he turns around, nobody's behind him. These guys need the common law grand jury behind them. This has to happen at the same time, because the governor has a statute that says he can pull a sheriff out of office that doesn't follow the rules that he puts in, like the SAFE Act, let's say. But he's got one problem. That sheriff still has due process due him, so it has to go to the grand jury. So if there's a good grand jury, the grand jury is going to go not guilty. They're going to nullify what the governor does to the sheriff to take him out of office. You're not going to get these guys to activate or do anything until this grand jury movement is in place. Look, we got 50 states. We got all these people coming. You see, not only the sheriffs are in this situation, but think about it. The judges, all these people, the provost marshals, the chief joints of staff, everybody. You can have a military guy saying, gee, this is getting to the point where the military should step in. But guess what? That's a big, big step. It looks like a military takeover. They're going to be very hesitant to do such a thing because they could be accused of treason and all kinds of other stuff. What will activate them is when they see a movement of we the people, and that is the common law grand jury. You see, once we get there, and we file papers, and what we're doing is we're building credibility, and respectability by our papers, by our language, and by the amount of people that come in. That's how it's going to happen. Everybody thinks, oh, the sheriff's going to save us. No, he's not. And neither is the marshal, and neither is the military. It's we, the people. When we come up, those people will then activate. They're watching. Even the judges, Scalia and all them, are waiting. When are the people going to wake up and bring something here that we can actually rule on? That's what we're doing. And all this stuff you're talking about with Bush and the CIA and all this stuff, guess what? When the common law grand jury gets that seat, that all goes away. You don't even have to discuss it because it's going to go away. Believe me. And they will be they will be prosecuted because at that point.
I sure hope so.
You, well, listen, you, anybody that has knowledge of that, now, we're not going to take that up on our own. But there's enough people out there, they're going to come in, they're going to make a complaint. Once somebody comes in and makes a complaint to the grand jury, to the investigative body, the administrator, and they reveal crimes have been done, they have an obligation to move that forward. The grand jury has an obligation to right the wrong. See, the grand jury doesn't need an agenda to go after Obama or Bush or anybody else because the people will do that, and they will do it through the grand jury. See, the grand jury doesn't have to initiate this on their own. Look, at there's going to be plenty, plenty. It's been so long since the people have had redress of grievances. When we get in, the big problem is going to be filtering through all the people that are going to come in complaining about everybody. That's our problem. We're going to be too busy. We're going to be very busy.
Well, I have another point. The current governor, if you internet search Rick Scott 14 felonies, the current governor of Florida had 14 felonies in his healthcare company in Texas, and his company paid $600 million to keep him out of jail. He's the governor of Florida.
Well,
he's got
that's
a criminal.
America.
Well, they're
you
criminals.
You get all the
they're
justice
criminals.
That you can afford in America right now. But like I said,
I mean, he's a criminal governor.
That's all going to go away. That's all going to go away when we get in. That's what we're doing. That's what it's about. And look, we don't have to start at the top. We start at the bottom. Because look, once you take your counties over, they have no place. There's no. That's the foundation. They have no place to stand. I mean, I don't care. Jeb Bush, look, they all started off by controlling a county, didn't they? Mena, Arkansas.
Yeah,
the
whole election, you can take it back to the dangling chads in the election in 2000 and
that's
Jeb
right.
Bush being the...
That's right.
I mean, that's where the problem started here in the state of Florida.
And
okay?
That's where you're going to fix it. You're going to fix it in the county.
This is the state where it needs to be... You know, we got a lot of... We got a lot of New Yorkers here that have their second homes that hide out. A lot of, you know, governor of New Jersey, he comes out to Florida in his second home when he's getting investigated for the murder of closing down the traffic lanes and someone dying, you know, to sway the election. It seems like Florida protects these mass murdering criminals, okay, that are seriously corrupt. It's an endemic problem in this state. Right now, they're chemtrailing us severe. Naples has been flooded, okay, today. The chemtrail, you know, you can't tell me the Governor Rick Scott, who was in the Navy, doesn't know about chemtrails and the fact that they're modifying the weather and flooding people. It gets into insurance fraud with the weather modification. It gets into murder, you know, and the former Governor Crist was here during all those huge hurricanes, Charlie. There's no statute of limitation on murder. So that, you know, former governor of Florida and the current governor are still keeping it up with these weather. It's called weaponized weather. They are using weaponized weather military.
Yeah, we are aware of all of that. They all know. Remember, even the ones that don't like it and would like to do something, they're trapped. Just think of it this way. You know, each and every one of us are trapped in using the banking system. We're trapped in using these federal debt papers that they call dollars. They're not dollars. Okay? We're trapped in using the Social Security number. We're trapped in using corporations that are controlled by them. We're trapped everywhere we go. We can't live a life. We're trapped in getting their driver's licenses. We're trapped in you just can't move because you get beat up and you end up living in jail half the time. We're trapped in having to go get their stupid permits to carry a weapon. We're trapped every way you turn around. Now realize that. Don't think that they haven't trapped every congressman, every senator, every judge, every lawyer, everyone. They're all trapped. Now, a lot of them just kind of give it a blind eye and go on because they're making money, things are looking good. They have no clue that the hammer's about to come down, and they have no clue that they're the first ones to be taken out. They don't know this. Okay, if they only understood that they are one of the first ones to be gotten rid of, because those the ones that are the blindest that are in these systems and have really made this stuff work, they're going to yell the loudest. So they're just going to shut them down. They're going to prevent them from speaking, and they're going to take them out. Okay, so
if they're
listening, realize
10 people have been killed by lightning.
Listen,
on Fort Myers Beach.
We got to move forward because it's 10:25 and we got a lot of people on. So we'll have to.
Yeah.
We have to move
forward.
Those
are called
now.
High-powered microwave weapons. Okay, they're using them.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Well,
yeah, it's pretty
bye-bye.
Bad out there. So.
It's very
okay,
bad
next.
Thanks.
Okay, next caller. Let's see what we're going to get. 303-717, it's a wireless caller.
Okay, John, it's Charlie in Colorado.
How you doing, Charlie?
I'm really thankful that you addressed this issue. I know I brought it up. Possibly bad 2 weeks ago, but I basically said by virtue of the fact that all of the states that have been constituted have signed on to whatever verbiage and whatever papers are going out,
mm-hmm.
okay? And for the most part, we agree.
Well,
okay?
bear in mind, we will not do an indictment without bringing a meeting together. Okay.
Okay.
Now this is an information, you know, that needs to go out, and I don't think anyone disagrees with this. This is a very powerful. This, let me tell you, what we're doing right now with this information going out is, and we all know this is what we're doing. We're writing letters to the judges. We're doing all of this stuff. We're putting in information. We put in an information not long ago on the sovereign citizen fraud that they're doing and how they're intimidating people and putting out posters that say persons of interest, and they're putting their lives in danger, okay? And so these are the things, you know, that everybody agreed. We got to go forward and push. But now, yeah, when
I
it
agree.
Comes to an indictment, we're not touching an indictment without having a private meeting with all people throughout the entire United States to come on, discuss it, lay it out, and see once what the people think. We won't violate that, of course, because
okay,
it would be
you.
A wrongdoing. So,
okay, yeah, thank you, because you addressed my concern on that. As far as the mailings are concerned and what it's going to cost, just interestingly enough, I went on to the United States Federal Courts website. There are 11 circuit courts. It was no different than weeks ago when I was talking about your Second Circuit Court out of New York. Which
those
is
circuit
York,
courts,
gonna...
I think, are appellate. I've been saying they're 12 or 13, but maybe there's 11. And Kathleen did the research on that. She's probably on board. She might be in the...
well, maybe Kathleen could sort this out because, again, the website is very confusing, and I sent a lot of links out to people in Colorado. But there are 11 circuit courts. They claim 12.
Throughout the entire United States?
Correct. You are the second.
Right. Yeah. Those are,
okay.
Just so you know,
Colorado
that
is
the appellate. Yeah, that is the appellate court.
No. Okay. They've got it broken down further, John, okay, because I broke down the Supreme Court, the Court of Appeals, or the appellate court, is 179 judges. The district courts is 677, okay? The Court of Trade mm-hmm. is 9. I only thought there was one, which is in Manhattan, but their total is 874. And they claim 12. Their judicial map shows 11.
Okay, I'll have to look into it. We had the similar problem on the federal district courts throughout the entire United States. Let's take New York, for instance. New York has 4 districts, okay? And each of those districts have the lead or the lead courthouse, I guess. I'll just call it lead. I don't know what else to call it. It's the courthouse. When you look it up, that district, that's the courthouse. Now, it turns out that there are other courthouses. I'll call them satellite. They don't call them satellite. They don't call them lead. But there are other courthouses in those districts that are federal courts. And now that is in also in there's numerous ones in different districts. And they're full courts. I mean, it's big buildings, you spend a lot of money on them, so on and so forth. Just think about that. I mean, four courts in one state is too many, and we've got probably about 10 altogether, but we're not going to send papers to all 10. We're sending them to the four main district courts where the filing should have been taking place anyway, you know.
Okay, four. Okay, you said four. Okay, back up.
In New York.
Okay, but there's 11 federal district circuit courts. Okay. Of which, within the 11 circuit courts, there are 94 judicial districts. They claim organized under into
right.
12. Okay.
I don't want to bore people with this, but if you've done so, because you know we're just talking numbers and things, but if you got some research or something. Why don't I tap you in with Kathleen and you two guys continue researching it and come to conclusions, and then we'll look at the final thing and we'll bring it to other people that you know we go to for some advice from time to time and see if they can help confirm it. And we'll do the best we can off the research we get. But here's the really frightening thing. Just think about this. In the United States, there's over 90,000 courts. Can you believe that? Now, of course, those courts, that's counting, I'm sure it's counting the town courts, okay? So, but 90,000 courts. Boy, that must be big business, huh? All these courts are making an arm and a leg. And
well,
there's 90,000. They're
people.
Fleecing us to death.
That's what helps
okay, John,
that statistic of more people
for
in jail.
Hanging in here. Gerard, I apologize. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, go ahead. It wasn't important.
Okay. All I was going to say, I apologize to the audience if I'm boring people with details. Okay?
Oh, no. It's not that. It's just that we don't really know the real unless you have the absolutes. Do you have the absolutes or you're still
one
finding confusion?
One could go to the internet and look at United States federal courts. I sent links to various people in Colorado over the weekend because I mentioned this issue by virtue that we have our seal on the paperwork. We're in federal court. I just want to make sure that everyone understands if we are going to be in federal court that we should be knowledgeable and understand what is going on. Not that there is something that would be contrary to any of our foundational beliefs.
Well, I do agree. I agree with that, and I think Kathleen's on the call tonight. I'm sure she's in the queue. She'll give us the info she's got. She'll let us know how secure or firm she feels about the conclusions. I know we were back and forth on numerous things, but I think she's come to a certain conclusions, which we'll take a look at and we'll reconsider also. But she may also still have some questions. But one of the things we discovered is that there's a lot of courts in New York. New York State, I'm going to take a guess. I don't really know. 12 or 15 federal courts, okay? That's just a guess. I have no clue how accurate. That's not accurate at all. I'm just saying there's quite a few of them. But there's only four that are important to us. And that's all we want. We're only going to the four. If we have to go to every single one of these courts, then we're going to have to probably get about 12 or 15 grand up to do this this program. But we don't need all them.
Time out. Okay, and that's the very essence of why I'm talking numbers. John, there are 11 circuit courts. Okay,
I understand, and we got those 11. As a matter of fact, I believe we got 12, and you're talking about a potential 12 also, so an extra court will get it if they're not real. It doesn't matter.
I think the 12th is the Court of Appeals. I could be wrong. It's so convoluted.
Whoa. The circuit court is the appellate court. It's where you go back, and if you have a problem with the district court, then you go into the circuit court. The circuit court is the appellate court. Above them is the United States Supreme Court. I'm pretty sure that's the structure. And believe me, before we end this this situation and we start sending mail out, we will come to a conclusion on that, one way or the other. And like I said, let's do this. Only because there's a lot of people on the call. It's 10:30, and it's running. You know, we want to get into other conversations. But look, this is what we're going to do. Kathleen will come on, and she'll tell us what she knows, and then you and her maybe can connect, and you guys can go back and forth, and then you can brief me on where you're at and show me what you got. And then at some point, we'll take it from you guys. And then we'll go, so we got advisors, so we'll go talk to some of our advisors. And also we'll do our own research and look so that we don't take the technical stuff here on the call.
Sorry, okay? Just talking numbers.
But no, this is an important thing, so I agree, and I'm glad you brought it up. And I'm just saying it's time to move on only because we're not going to have a conclusion.
I apologize.
You know? Not tonight
Thank
anyway.
You,
so. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you. Okay, let's go to the next caller. Let's see, 707 number. You
hey,
go
John.
Right ahead.
Hey, John. Hello, it's Sheila from California.
How you doing?
I'm good, thank you. And first I want to say, you know, thank you so much for what you're doing because I can feel the will moving through you. And you answered a lot of my questions already today, but I have a few more. I'm really happy that in what you're getting ready to file in all the federal courts includes the fictional characters for all of the people in all of the different states. I think that's really important. I have some house cleaning issues. One is, are we also planning to file all of our county documents in a mass, you know, one-day filing throughout the nation?
Well, I think that's a no. It'll be a state thing. I think it's the state needs to make that decision. Right now, I would suggest just get the job done and get all the paperwork done, because now it's a time of organizing. Now it's a time of communicating. Look at when you watch the videos we posted up, you'll see what we really should be doing and how we're doing it, which is really growing our membership and activating people that are already in the system and bringing new people in. That's what our state meetings are designed to do, the way we laid them out. And I think you'll see that. And also a little bit of, you know, discussion of what has been discussed on a Monday. Like, look, let me tell you, we put a lot of meat out there today, and everyone should be talking about this in the state meeting. And just think about what this is going to do. If you're discussing this, you don't have to spend a lot of time, and just go through the things that we put up on this, the instructions on the videos, and you'll see, especially in the very end, the last page, there's only two or three words, and the window will sit there for about 45 seconds or 30 seconds or something, maybe 30 seconds. The reason why it will do that, because what's written on that window is important to realize. So you move your meetings along is the point that you're going to see. And get some discussion going, but don't spend. And that should be the last order of business, because this way, if people decide to go overtime, the other people can bail out. You got to get the first important stuff together. Now, so organizing, communicating, and preparing. Now, what are we doing? We have to find leaders. We're working diligently finding people who are going to commit on a state level. In New York, we are finding people who are committing on a county level. And that's what every state needs to be doing. You got to find who's committing on a county level. First order of business, every meeting, every Wednesday night when you have your state meeting, find out who's on board, who's committed, what they've done, who they brought, and they're committing to bring more people to the meeting next week, and keep on moving. And then let them take on the controls, okay? We need someone in Lewis County. And finally someone says, I'll take it. I'll take the responsibility for Lewis County. Now we've got a leader. We'll mark them. We know who's taking care of Lewis County. That may change. They may be only doing it for a while. That's okay. Or they're looking for partners that'll do more of the work than them, whatever, because you work together. But we have to get leaders for every single county in our state. And as we get those leaders are potential administrators if they want to be. And it's a great job, pays well. And then on top of that now, they need to get three other administrators with them in every county. That's the business at hand right now. If we're not doing that, you're not doing your job, and you're missing the whole boat. So that's why we did the video, to make it clear on the focus and what our agenda is and what we should be doing at our meetings and how we can get to it. And if people have better ideas in order to push the agenda forward, absolutely, bring it to us, and let's talk about it, and we'll adjust the video to accommodate for other ideas, but we have to build our numbers. We have to build, and we have to build strong leaders. I'm going to say this, and some people complain to me from time to time, but most people don't. I'll tell you the truth. You better get into your Bible. If we're not bending our knee to God and being obedient to His will and looking into His Word so we can learn His precepts, if we're not doing that, we're not going to be blessed. And remember, liberty is a blessing. Our founding fathers were clear. They wrote it in the Constitution. I know it's clear to me. And we did another video called The America's Foundation. And it's going to blow you away what our founding fathers had to say about this. And believe me, there's lots of it. And so the thing is that we have to be developing. We also have to get going on the courses. I'm going to push real hard tomorrow to get this course up. It's been waiting too long. Now I'm going to have to, you know, push a little our tech to make this, get this job done. We have taken a little bit of a different direction on this. We had the questions where you put the answer right in. We're going to change that. I think we're doing what's called a word bank. Will there be a group of words down on the bottom of the page which you would choose from to fill in the blanks? Because we discovered it may be too difficult if we don't do something like that. The key thing is not to really have people remember anything particularly. What we want them to do is spend the time and understand what they're looking at. And that's all you got to do, because the rest of it comes to you naturally. But in any event, we got to get our education going. The administrator, the page that we're setting up for the administrators, okay, which is the instructional videos and paperwork for that, that we're trying to get up as quick as possible, because I think we're very close to entering the courts, and people need to be working on this stuff. And so we're going to get it up as quick as we can. And you're going to find it's very easy, because if you go through all of them, you know, once or twice, you'll get it. But then when you it's time to deal with that situation, you go to the video, you watch it, and it lays out how to do it. Gives you the framework. And so it'll work for us. But anyway, that's what we've got to do.
A couple other little just housekeeping things. I went on to the new items that you downloaded, the 100 NLA state meetings, and I actually couldn't open them. And I don't know if it's because I'm on an iPad or what, but just kind of heads up on that if there's a different format.
I don't understand. What happened?
Well, when I click on it, on 100, on your new administrator's instructional.
Oh, okay, let me go. 100 NLA state meeting.
NLA state
click
meeting.
Click on that.
And I click on that.
If you look up to the top right, you'll see a download coming. You click on your download button on your at least Firefox is on the top right, and you'll see the download. Once it's done, you can click it to play it or right click it to open it up, the container. These are WMVs.
It's okay. I'm just saying I'm on an iPad and it's not working for me, but I'll figure that I'm getting a new computer on Friday. So that's one thing. We'll just double check all that.
You might have to right click it. Like a lot of times it won't just download. You might have to tell it.
But anyway, you got to.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
I can't
right
click on my iPad, but that's okay. The other thing that I'm curious about is that I went through all the people that signed up as county administrators in California. And there was about 5 or 6 phone numbers that were completely disconnected, and there were several other people that I left, 2 or 3 messages for and never heard back from.
This is what we're going to do. Yeah, I got it. This is what we're going to do. This is up to the state coordinator to go through the list of people that they have, make sure they're real, make sure things are working. And what you do is you send them, you want to call them first, and if the phones aren't working, then you do an email thing. And you let them know they need to get in contact with you, because if they don't get in contact with you, we're going to remove them from the website because we're presuming they're not real. So if you're real, answer us. If you don't, maybe make a rule, send 3 emails in 3 days. And when those people don't answer that email and the phone is dead, then you make the list. And once you've done that with the whole state, you get it to me, and I'll get it to the appropriate person who can go in there, and we'll start removing all these people out.
Okay, well, I've done that. I've sent it to Kathy. I think she forwards it to Josh. I just want to make sure because I feel like
Nobody's forwarding it. Then it's got to come through me before we go through it. Then I want to go through it. I just don't want. Look, I am not a person who likes to micromanage. I really am not. But there are certain things I'm going to micromanage, and before we move anyone to NLA, it's got to go through me. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. So. Kathleen, if you're listening, Josh, if you're listening, do not remove anyone from NLA. We've had people removed, and it was an error, and I feel bad. I don't want that to happen again. We've had people blocked, and it was an error. I don't want that happening again.
I'll forward that to you then now.
Yeah,
but
please
I've been
make
working
sure
on these
you
people
do.
For weeks.
any state coordinator, I am really, really depending on you doing your due diligence on trying to get a hold of these people before we try to remove them. And if you do get a hold of them, tell them they got to get out there and put a real phone number in there. We're real jurists. Got to have a real phone number. And
you know,
they don't
these are coordinators, actually, so that's what concerns me, is because if there's somebody in that county, you know, I want someone to be able to answer the phone or at least call somebody back, and if their numbers are disconnected,
well,
then they're not responding to emails.
Bear in mind, it may not be diabolical as we kind of often run to normally. It could be, let me tell you something. I've been homeless before many, many years ago, and I know what it's like, and I had a family when I was homeless. And that could happen, especially in today's environment, people getting thrown out of their homes, and people just can't keep the bills up in between jobs, unemployed, and the phones go off, and they're real people, and they're still there, and they don't want to be thrown, they don't want to be leave, but they're, you know, they're struggling. So, you know, it is what it is. But but let's do what we can on that.
All right, that's it. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's see. Next caller, let's see.
This is Sheila.
You're
this
still
is Sheila.
On.
I'm done.
Okay, let me see. Yeah, I'm having a problem with the button here. Let's try it again. I don't know why it's not taking the next call. There it is, 201. 434. By the way, somebody just got kicked out of the queue. I don't know. I'm having a problem with it, so get back in. I apologize. Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, John. Jason from New Jersey.
How you doing, Jason? What kind of question do you have?
Well, not a question. Actually, it's a way to get people more active. It's called Free Civics Education Channel. Going out and asking people questions about the Constitution and their rights, so that way they can see how people are, how they have been actually dumbed down, and they can actually start getting more involved with their education, so they can understand that they're being manipulated by.
Yeah, but these people, if you see people on the streets like that, they're really not interested. They have no clue. I've seen these type of things where people ask people questions on the streets. I saw on TV recently they were asking people, who's George Washington? These are college students. Who's George Washington? They don't have a clue. Who did we fight during the Revolutionary War? They didn't know, or they gave some oddball answer, and they had no clue what's going on. That's how dumbed down. These are college students. It is really serious. So I wouldn't even bother trying to get them, because they really don't care, and if they wouldn't caught it in school, then it's not important to them. You see, that would probably be a good part of their attitude. So, but what I would do, the best thing to do is to get onto a college campus and get some permission to go in and talk about the grand jury. And we're going to write a paper on how to do that, sometime in the near future. I wouldn't say put our time in right now to this, but very, very soon, I think it is something that we need to focus in. I know I'm going to visit all the colleges in Dutchess County, and I'm going to, you know, introduce ourselves as the grand jury, and we'd like to come in and tell the people about it and how things work. And the schools will take us in. And then we need to get in even into the lower schools, too, but that's a big job because there's lots of them.
Well, another point. Not a question, but actually the arrogance of our sheriffs. I was in Jersey City, Hudson County, and I wanted to go. I've been communicating with the sheriff for some time, wanted to see him. He was in his office. Oh, we don't take unannounced appointments. I mean, I was floored. I mean,
They did that to us too. We pushed them beyond that, in it, but they did that to us.
How did you fix the...
Eventually we went down to the... Because we couldn't get in to see the sheriff. And then we just went in and they were talking about, you have to have an appointment. Well, we tried to get in. We did get in. We did talk to them. And it actually went pretty well for us. That Gerard was telling part of that story. The sheriff kind of came on board with us. But nevertheless, the prosecutor wouldn't prosecute. He didn't see the law being broken. But we know he did. He understood. And it turns out there are New York State codes that he could have prosecuted on, because he says he knew that book backwards and frontwards. Well, he lied to me. Because either he didn't know that book backwards or frontwards, and if he did, then he lied to me by saying there is no law. So either way, he lied to me.
And I was asking the sheriff's deputies, what is the law of the land? Like a blank face. Duh.
Yeah, they don't know. They don't know. Yeah. And look, that's a common problem everywhere. They're all lost. And look at, and it's not really their fault on the one. You know, basically, it isn't. They've been trained this way. They come from the same school system we come from. And we didn't know that not long ago either. So, you know, it's pitiful. But. All right, anything else? Because we have a lot of callers here. Did I lose you? You just fell out of the queue. All right, I'll go on to the...
Oh, thank you so much. You're still in the queue.
Bye-bye. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, bye. Okay, let's go to the next caller here. Let's see, 248-347. Go right ahead.
Hi, John, this is David in Michigan. And I wanted to let you know that we are supporting you with commercials embedded into evidence, and we're doing our own videos out here. And I'm hoping that you and anybody that's listening will go to Facebook's Rico Busters, R-I-C-O, Busters. And also, there's to tell you a little bit about what we're doing here in Michigan in exposing the corruption with evidence in video format, and while providing commercials that I made for you embedded into these videos. There's if you go to voiceofdetroit.net.
Well, if you're gonna, I saw your videos; they're very good, and I know you wanted me to get them up. I'm sorry. Matter of fact, I might be able to get them up now because I've got the embed feature set up on a site that we didn't have before where I can put the videos right up there. And instead of putting on the YouTube and going through that process. But I'll put them on YouTube also anyway. But the commercials are good. We like them. If you're going to connect something else with it, we'd like to see it first because we have to be very, very careful on where we're going to draw our lines in the sand. We don't want to develop 2, 3, 4, 5 fronts. We have to have one front, and that front is access into the court, and that could be anywhere. And we have to be very careful on how we develop that access in the court. You know, there are some people out in Ohio, and I hope they're online tonight. They get on the mic here to talk to me about this, and because I had no clue. They asked me if I read the papers that they're going to file to do indictments, and I have no clue what they're doing. Nobody should be doing an indictment unless they're collaborating. Now, there are people in Florida preparing some legal moves, but they're collaborating with us. We know what they're doing, and they're going to get a final agreement before they go forward to make sure we're all on the same page and we don't create a new front or create a situation or get something wrong in the paperwork that can put us in a bad light or in a bad position. So we have to know. Now, there are people I know that want to do something and they're pushing, but they don't know what – they really don't know what they're doing. And they've learned what they've learned on websites. And look at, if you're going to rely on your as websites as your research, you're going to get in trouble. Okay, forget about it. I there's a lot of good information on websites. You can pull down a lot of Supreme Court rulings, but you got to be careful with their conclusions and what they offer you, because a lot of it is poison, and it also takes you to a place where you don't need to be fighting and arguing.
Well,
you know,
so you're saying that you saw the Rico Busters, the three Rico Busters videos that I created?
I'm saying, send them to me.
You just got through saying you, so I just wanted to clarify that you have not seen these yet. The voiceofdetroit.net blog site, they're in the middle of Detroit. A seasoned investigative journalist has written a story about our gatherings, our exposure of the corruptness in Detroit, and the documentation that's interlaced in these videos that we created. And the only thing that we did is exactly what I told you I was planning to do and that we were doing here in Michigan, which was using, and we did show those videos to you first, the commercials,
and you said
that they were all good. So we're getting the exposure. We've let the cat out of the bag now, and let our local government know that accountability is coming. And
okay, here's what I'm trying to say. Here's what I'm trying to say. And I don't know what you've done, and we need to look at it. Here's what I'm trying to say.
Well,
we cannot have
Rico Busters.
I'm on Voice of Detroit. You say it's there, right?
Voiceofdetroit.net is the article, and then it's got links and embedded videos that I've also posted on YouTube and.
Right, I got Rico Busters. This
Facebook.
Is it.
Rico Busters.
Okay, it's 37 minutes long.
That's
correct?
The first one.
Okay, listen what I'm saying, okay? And again, I'm not directing anything to you. I'm just saying that we need to know what you're doing if you're going to create a front. And my point is this, is if you're going to go into a court or into a judicial process or go forward to try to use the grand jury as a leverage to do something, we need to know what you're doing. We need to collaborate it. And the reason we have to do that...
We did not do any of that that you just got through saying. What we are doing is simply exposing the corruption. Here. We are not contacting courts. We are not indicting anybody. We are not using the... NLA's name in vain or any other way. We're only providing you some airtime in the midst of what we're doing, which is to expose the corruption and presenting the NLA as a possible solution.
Well, it sounds good to me. You know, I'm taking opportunities to have this conversation to take it to the next level of people who will misunderstand what's going on here, and then they'll take an opportunity to do something, and then we'll find ourselves in trouble and fighting two fronts. Here's my important thing. You got to understand this. You know, in World War II, when Hitler was making his front on Europe, he did not want to open another front, and it opened up on him, and it caused him a lot of problems, and that was Russia, okay? So he was fighting on two fronts, okay? You have to understand what that means. You got to divide your forces. We don't have enough force to even divide, number one, but we also don't have, we don't have many people who are able to make the arguments that really need to be made here, and so we have to be careful. Hold on.
Sure.
I'll let you talk after I'm done.
Okay.
Because I'm taking opportunity to springboard off what you're telling me for other people who are listening. What I want them to do is not that we're against what they might want to do, but talk to us about it. Show us what you're doing. And we look at, like with you, you showed us what you were doing. I approved it. I thought it was great. Gerard thought it was great. Now I see this other stuff, and it's not going into the courts. That's fine. I'm going to look at Rico Busters, and I'm sure from my conversations with you and the work you've done that showed to us already, I think we're going to be happy with it, and we're probably going to agree with it. But, you know, we may not agree if you went into the courts, but you said you haven't done that. So we're all good then.
Well, and this is why I've made the division here. I've made it clear to the people here in Michigan that I am not going to take an administrative role in the NLA. I'm going to be taking a investigative media approach to expose the corruption so that when these things are ready, we're going to have a streamlined way of presenting stuff and making sure, if nothing else, that the public gets to know why we need the grand juries.
Well, I really appreciate what you just said, and because we are looking for that, people who are involved in different things that are investigative individuals, they became people who are they cut their teeth on this stuff, and they've accumulated a tremendous amount of information on certain things out there that we do have to go look at, and we're going to take the opportunity to hear those people as soon as we have the opportunity to hear them, and they're going to springboard us very quickly because they've done the research. We just have to look at the evidence. So same thing with you. We appreciate what you're doing, and we're going to look at your evidence at some point. I'm going to look at Rico Busters. I'll find 37 minutes to watch the video. And you can call me another time, and if you want me to comment on it, I will.
Surely. I think that once you see number one, you'll probably, in fact, if you want to, start with number three.
Are they back-to-back
I think you'll like them.
Oh, yeah, it's a segment one. I see it. Okay.
All right.
No, I will look at it. Gerard will look at it too, I'm sure, and maybe other people.
And look, we are looking for alternative news when the time is right, because look, we're not going to give anything to the major news media.
And we are working with some alternative news already, too. So, absolutely.
And that's the place for us to go. And if the major news media wants it, they better go to those guys and get it. And that's the only way we have any control at all over them spinning what we're doing or saying. You know what I mean? Because they're experts at that. So, you know, I like this site. It looks pretty good. Just perusing through the whole site. I don't know whose site is this. This Rico Buses.
This is the voiceofdetroit.net is a blog site that was put up by an investigative journalist who was fighting the corruption so bad that she actually got arrested for taking pictures and of the Detroit police and some of the racketeering and corruption that they've long been engaged in. And there's a group of alternative media professionals here in Michigan and elsewhere across the country that are starting to network together. I've talked to Gary Franchi and many others that have been around for a while, and we are starting to pool our resources, pool our blog sites, so that when one news story comes out, it's going to blast out to a lot of different places, and this just happens to be my forte, is working with video, and the reason why number three is better than number one is because my editing skills have matured over time, and believe me, there's a whole lot more after that. We just haven't released them yet.
Yeah, I like this heading, the city's independent newspaper, unbossed and unbought. But listen, we need new media, obviously. So, you know, as this country moves forward, one of the biggest problems with all our problems is that we have a managed news media, and that's probably one of the main sources of hypnosis in this country is the managed news media.
And dumbing down.
Yeah, well, they dumbed them down, and they believe everything that's on television. If it's on television, it must be true. So we got to get the truth out there. Yeah, isn't it? Right, right. and it's really disgusting and amazing that there's still people out there like that. But listen, the shell has been cracked, obviously, and so we got to keep going. And any alternative media, we're going to need it, because at some point, I don't believe they're not going to, listen, they're going to try something, and they're going to try to discredit us. And the battle to that is to have enough media that we can get out in to kind of counteract some of that.
Well, I see the demand as being there, and I plan on supplying it. And it,
right.
Believe me, there is not for a lack of content.
Right.
So I appreciate the airtime.
Well, I'd like to comment on your site also. It does look pretty good, and I see what you're doing. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll keep in touch, and thanks very much. I appreciate
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Bye-bye. Bye. Bye. Okay, next caller. Let's see who we taking next. We're going with 281-693.
Hi, John. This is Joe
hey.
In Texas.
How you doing, Joe?
I'm doing fine. How you doing?
Good, good, good.
Listen, I was listening to your letter, which I thought was great, that you're sending to all the judges.
Yeah, that's
and,
called, it's called a Bill of Information.
Okay,
and a Bill of
Information.
Yeah, it is a formal paper that must be responded to.
Right.
It's the report of a crime, and every judge has a duty to respond. To be silent is fraud, and they're in problems. They got problems. So.
Well, one of my questions is the word federal.
Mm-hmm.
Now we keep addressing these as federal. Of course, that's what they're called now. But mm-hmm. I heard in the letter that you were reading that it was really supposed to be United States District Court.
Well, that's an interesting thing.
And I don't think you see federal in the Constitution or amendments or anywhere. You don't even see that word.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Didn't we somehow address that in our letter?
Yeah,
we
did.
The letter you're sending out?
Yes, we did. We showed the confusion inside that. And I'll double-check to make sure that it's clear. But we showed the confusion because on the one hand, we had a Supreme Court rulings that spoke about these courts, and then on the other hand, and said that they were courts that were actually there's one Supreme Court ruling, and that ruling, that Supreme Court ruling is a bad ruling, and basically they acknowledge the fact that this court's there, but they don't belong. The only thing they good thing they did say is is they don't belong on the New York soil, they belong on the District of Columbia. And so that was a good part of the ruling. But the other bad part of the ruling is they referred to their authority to do so under Article 4. And I think it was 4 Section 2. I forget exactly which one it is, but they referred to an Article 4. And when you go read the Article 4, when we wrote that in the paperwork, clearly it says nothing about creating a court, just creating the rules and the laws. It's the same court, okay? So you can hear a case in District of Columbia on any of the courts, in any of the courts in any of the states, ultimately, because they can open that jurisdiction. But they also can do it specifically in Washington, D.C., which is in District of Columbia. And I'm sure they also have some district courts in Guam, Puerto Rico, and the islands, and so on and so forth, which are all parts of the the District of Columbia. But in any event, there is no place in the Constitution whatsoever that gives the Congress authority to create any courts other than an Article III court. None. Anywhere. And so it's in the Article 3 court where they can hear these courts. And these courts are supposed to be under admiralty or maritime. It could be in equity. I don't think that law would fall in these district courts on one hand. On the other hand, I think it can, because look at, they're human beings. They got unalienable rights. They cannot be denied those rights. America should never deny those rights. No American court should deny those rights. So if someone in one of those districts, one of those countries in the District of Columbia, one of those territories in the District of Columbia, were to call for the common law court, I think they'd have to oblige them.
Okay,
after all,
well, you haven't really addressed my question. My question is, should we keep on using federal in the letter?
Well, yes, we have to, because that's what they call themselves. And what we have done is we turned it around. And again, this was contradictive because there was different rulings and different positions. And what I found extremely interesting is that they were to be called, according to the United States Supreme Court, they were to be called, proper name for them was the District Courts of the United States of America. That's what they're supposed to be called, or the United States. Now,
yeah, I'm just not,
and that's
made
what
that
that's
clear
what
in the,
we
in the letter
did.
That you read. Yeah.
Huh?
I said I'm not sure if you made that clear in the letter that you
read.
Yeah,
I will. I'm pretty sure I did, but it was a little difficult to see. I would agree. When you get it, you read it and look for it. You'll have to struggle a little bit, but you'll see it. And if I'm not clear enough, I will go back to make it clearer. So I appreciate you bringing that to my attention. But let me explain the situation. Here's the big thing. The United States Supreme Court has already said that the proper name for the court in the states is District Court of the United States. That's the proper name, okay, according to the United States Supreme Court. Now, they called themselves everywhere United States District Court. That's what they call themselves. But when you go into USC 28, where they have the authority to create these courts, because remember, the Constitution gave the authority to the legislators, and the legislators worked within the criteria of what was given in Article 3 in order to create these courts, and they've been vested to do that. And what they did is they created the courts, and they did it properly originally in U.S. Code 28, and it said right there that they shall be courts of record, okay? All United States district courts shall be courts of record. Now, that's very interesting, because that means every district court, even in the District of Columbia, has to be a court of record in order to be a court. Otherwise, if their court's not of record, they don't have the power to fine or incarcerate. So they have to be courts of record. So now, once you have that that statement, now you go back in and you see them using these names, and they're creating the fiction out of it. Boy, that really is, that's beyond a fraud. That's right in your face. So I find it very interesting. And that's what we're calling them on. We're making that point, and I'll make sure it's clear. I will go back and revisit it again.
Okay, that was my question. Thank you, John.
Oh, thank you. Okay, next caller, Keith, go right ahead. Keith.
Hey, John.
Yeah, how you doing, Keith?
All righty. Hey, you know, you was talking about Rod Class earlier, and, you know, his normal calls he has, he's been having them Fridays. He used to have them Tuesdays and Fridays, but he's limited to just Fridays, and it's not necessarily Friday. So I'm trying to, you know, that was news to me that, you know, you was talking about getting together with him on a Wednesday or something.
Right. Well, what happened was that the person who set this up, who brought us together, they know our schedule. And they asked what days. He said to me, well, I guess the best days for you is either Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and I don't remember whether he brought in Sunday or not, but I think Wednesday, Friday, or Saturday. And I said, yeah, whatever he wants to do, I'm good on those. And they came back with Wednesday.
All right. Well, good. I'll be looking forward to that. Now, also, another thing you brought up about, you know, is how are people going to prosecute these people once, you know, informations and indictments or whatnot start getting filed?
Well, now, we have prosecutors.
We're going to have to train what's called the private attorney general. Now, Rod is very knowledgeable.
Let's step back a minute. You're absolutely right on the private attorney general, and there's a couple other names for them. But let's just stay first with the prosecutor. First and foremost, we're going to consider the prosecutor. Now, remember, the prosecutor, Gerard. Correct me on this thing here. Aren't the prosecutors, the district attorneys, aren't they elected or are they appointed
or
something?
They're elected.
If they're an elected individual, okay, then they have to leave the bar. They want to continue to prosecute in courts of record, they need to leave the bar. And same thing with the judges. Judges, when we talk with the judges, they're going to have to leave the bar. That's a conflict of interest. You can't have a title. You can't be under control. You can't take a second oath. You got an oath to the people, okay?
Yeah.
And you're gonna keep that oath. So the judges will be told once we get in there, they can fire themselves if they want. You know, you cannot listen or hear a case, and your paycheck stops immediately until you leave the bar. And when you show us you've left the bar, and then we also want you to make sure your oath is available at the county clerk where it's supposed to be. And we want to make sure your bond is available at the county clerk or the court clerk. We want those bonds. We want those oaths. We want you to leave the bar. We want you to prove you've done that. Same thing with any officer of the court. If they're an officer of the court in a common law court, they cannot be a bar attorney.
Well, every state constitution says that every judge has to be licensed to practice law. Well, they'll say, well, that's the bar card. Well, that's not a license.
Well, I don't care about statutes. We're in common law.
This is what every state's constitution says.
Well, we're going to get rid of all of that. It doesn't matter. It's null and void.
Right. I agree.
Okay.
I agree.
Because you can't require that kind of thing. Now, wait a second. Let's look at a license now. If the state wants to give a license for a commercial activity, we're going to have to think about that. But it can't be the bar. The bar certainly can't give it to them because they don't have the authority to give a license anyway. And besides that, they're a communist organization, and the lawyers don't understand that, but they are. And obviously, we can't allow them to run our courts.
Oh, yeah, no argument here.
Yeah, so we'll fix that up. We will do papers on this, and again, we have the list of things we're going to be doing videos and papers on, and that will be addressed in there when we deal with prosecutors. It'll be addressed in there when we deal with judges. We will cover those areas and how we're going to go about doing certain things. You know, we've got the whole thing laid out. It's just a matter of getting videos created and getting and structuring it on a paper in the simplest fashions we can.
Right. Now, getting back to Rod Class, now, if there ever arises a need for a special prosecutor, I think he would be a good candidate.
Well, he's the guy. Yes, absolutely. We agree. We talked about him the other day on our Thursday program, I believe. And He's not the only one. We know other people that have this capability of being able to do this. And I understand Rod Class is doing a program to train private attorney generals. Is that true?
Well, he had a weekend thing in North Carolina weekend before last.
So he's training
it was all weekend thing.
Well, we're happy to see that. He's not the only one. There's another individual that's going to be working on that from California. And we hope there'll be others because we don't have I'm sure we do have some. We got some out there, but they come from the School of Hard Knocks, and that's the best place to come from. Now, they're all potential teachers and instructors. So we'll encourage everyone that comes from the School of Hard Knocks to maybe consider doing something in order to create more of these people. But we're going to recreate them. Listen. The freedom is catching, okay? It's contagious. And that would go even for lawyers. Once the lawyers realize they've been living in a fiction and they've been defrauded, and that they no longer can do work in the courts. I mean, people can hire a lawyer if they want. That's their prerogative. You can get counsel. Anybody could be your counsel. If they want to throw away a whole bunch of money to a guy that's just going to waste their time and talk about statutes and lose every case he runs against, well, that's fine. Look, if people are going to wise up real quick and they're going to go for real lawyers, they're not going to go for bar attorneys. And so what's going to happen is I think we're going to have a huge, huge number at some point of lawyers bailing, jumping ship and just getting rid of their licenses, really realizing they don't need one to go into court. And now they're open to do it their way. And they've already been trained in the procedures and the processes, so all of that, it works. They understand how to framework the case, and they also know about court, court rulings. Unfortunately, they use a lot of BS court rulings. They really need to work on the Supreme Court rulings on the upper level of New York or whatever state they're in, and of course the United States Supreme Court. So that's where they have to just move their direction to. So that's a no-brainer for them. And common law, I think, will come very quickly to them once they realize that they've been defrauded and the whole thing is a lie.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, another thing, in the congressional record, Congress gave the people the power and the right to act as prosecuting attorneys, basically a private attorney general. It's in the congressional record, you know, because they knew that there was too much controversy for the prosecutors to handle. So they gave the people the power to prosecute.
Well, you see, you got to be careful there because they can't give the people power on anything. They can make law and do different things according to the criteria of Article 2. And I've been through Article 2 very, very carefully, and it doesn't even talk about any of those things, so they don't even have that authority. And that would be even in the sense of the states, because they can't really make rules. We'd have to think it out. I haven't thought this out, so I'm not going to say one way or another whether they should be licensed or not, because it is a commercial activity. And so should it be licensed? I don't know. I got to think about it. But the bottom line is if they're licensed, they can't be controlled. They have to do the best they can to counsel the people that they're going to represent. And if they're going to want to continue to make money, not as much as they were making, because it's going to be competitive now, if they want to continue to keep their job and make money, they're going to have to bail out of the bar ship and come over to the people and do the right thing and become a human being, because right now they're not human beings.
No, I agree. That's all I had.
Okay, appreciate it, Keith. Good talking to you.
You too.
Okay, let's go to the next caller. Gerard, you got to push me along. It's getting late, and we got a lot of callers left. G. That's all I got is G. Is that George? Georgie?
It's Julio. Julio.
Oh, Julio.
How you doing?
Yeah, you got to be closer to your mic. I can't hear you.
I'm kind of, I got this headset. I don't know if you can hear me or not. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, put it a little closer to your mouth. It should only be maybe an inch, half an inch or an inch away from your mouth.
Yeah, that's all it is. Can you hear?
All right, well, let's try. I'll have to raise my volume, but go ahead.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I got my volume up.
Okay, good. Yeah, and it was on a couple of people. I couldn't download things. I think they don't have the right, if they don't have the right software, they're not going to be able to listen to any of the videos.
Well, yeah, they're WMVs, so they're window videos. You know, most, you know, what's the name? Linux probably has something that'll play Windows media video. So they're WMVs. And anyone who can download MP3s or any of those things, you should be able to download this. It's the same way. You just have to look to see where your browser or your unit, whatever you're using to go online with, where it's going to be downloaded to. You know, that's what you need to do. I mean, on Firefox, you'll see the little arrow up on the far right, and you'll see it going green and blinking, and you'll see the bar, you know, the page down on the bar blinking, I mean, filling green. So all you have to do is click on that download arrow and right-click it and say open container. And as soon as it opens the container, you can start it as soon as it finishes downloading.
And the other thing was, and it was not a minute of my questions, but just a bit thing. The lady was talking about the 11 district courts, but they forgot about the District of Columbia. That's not considered the
Yeah, that state. Could be the 12th,
that's
yeah.
The 12th. That's the 12th.
Yeah, you're right. That could be it. You know, I thought about that when she was talking, but then I forgot about it and I didn't bring it up because I thought, yeah, that might be
it. It's not considered a state.
Right.
They have their own district and they have their own appellate court as well.
Right.
But the question that I you know, and it's been bouncing around, in order to be to get paid for anything, you have to be licensed typically. You have to be licensed.
For what?
If you're a professional. A mechanic, you have to be a licensed mechanic
if there's a commercial activity involved, then they can make certain laws and licensing for controlling quality, I guess, and different things, and you know, I guess all of that is valid. We just have to think it out, and for lawyers, because it is a commercial activity, they're getting paid, they're making money. There should be some kind of a control, I'm sure, and a licensing is probably appropriate, and I would presume that money is paying for an oversight committees to make sure that they're honorable. I don't know. I never looked enough into these things.
And some type of continuing education, because things change and you guys are behind the eight ball. They're not going to know what's going on, and they're going to do it the wrong way.
Well, education is up to the individual. I'm not going to go to any structured education. I have my own. I do my own education, and a lot of us are going to be the same way. I mean, we're going to lay out a lot of stuff to go get into, and you're going to find a lot of stuff on your own. If you want to make money and you want to be good at what you're doing, you're gonna become the best you can. You know.
I don't agree with licensing. It doesn't help anything.
Well, I don't
anything.
Agree with it, but the society is so structured.
You know, let me tell you something. I have a licensed repair shop here by New York State.
You're licensed by criminals, but go ahead.
That's right. And they don't do anything to get all. I mean, they have a little, they got a structure where you can complain, and they'll come in and do a hearing, an administrative hearing. But there was no qualifications for me to get that license other than to pay my money. Now, they've been saying that they're going to put standards in and all this stuff. But all the good mechanics do national standards, ASE. They pay their own money. It's just like when you go get a board-certified bone doctor. You know what I mean? There's a prestigious school that says he went through it. And look at it. It's buyer beware. Check out your guy's qualifications and see. But as far as the state licensing, listen, they can't run themselves, much less to run me. I live to higher standards than they could even put in. You know what I mean? And so I don't see any. The only thing it does is it gives them an opportunity to come in here and fine me for not having my paperwork in the order they like it, or some other such crap that they do. You know, they don't really protect the people; they just make money. So
yeah, well, I agree with you because you know, I'm as a contractor, when I was doing contracting work, you know, they had counties that required licensing, and actually I left doing business in those counties because they were they got too radical. They were crazy. But I was thinking about going into the courts to sue them because they can't they cannot license my right to make a living. Now, I think the only way they can license things, isn't it, with interstate commerce, no?
Well, that's one of the ways, but, you know, look, they got, with this whole rule
law. We have to look
law,
into this, because I don't understand enough to really make an argument either way.
Listen,
you know?
They license electricians, and I think every state does that. However, there's exceptions to every rule. If you wanna wire your own house, they can't stop you. They tell you they can, but they can't.
Yeah, of course
now,
they can.
Now,
yeah.
that doesn't mean that you'll get a C of O, and you don't need a C of O to live in it, but when you go to sell it, the bank will require one, and then you're going to have an inspection after the fact, blah, blah. But
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, and you're back into that box.
Right,
you know?
Exactly. So, I don't know. You know, licensing lawyers, you know, they claim they're licensed, and if they were licensed, they wouldn't be any better than they are today, believe
yeah,
me.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, they aren't licensed, though, right
they're
now.
Not
anyway.
Licensed. They're not yeah. licensed. Look, our forefathers practiced law, and there was no license, although they did have bar cards like they do today. They were admitted to the bar, I think.
Well, I found with licensing is a major problem. You know, here, I'm a contractor by trade. And in different counties, I had an electrician that worked for me every time I had a job. This guy was he was like all by himself. He must have been on speed. I mean, this guy is fast. And he always gave me great prices. But there was counties he couldn't go into because he wasn't licensed, and he refused to go get their license. And what happened here is I got involved with an electrician who had a license in a city that I was doing business in. I won't mention the name of the city, but I was doing business in that city, and he was licensed in that city. Actually, he was licensed in another city, and he was able to get reciprocity, however you say that. But he was able to get that. And they allowed him to do a couple of jobs. So he came in and did some jobs for me. But when he entered into that city, okay, he was called in and he had to go to a meeting. So he went to the meetings. They have a meeting once a month. All the electricians that are licensed in that city, they all come together. And I found out, he came and told me, he says, everything's fixed. He says, they decided that meeting who's going to get what job. So when I go get three or four numbers, they're all working. Yeah, of course it is. They're all working together, talking about my numbers, and they work it out at their meetings, and they already know who's going to win that job, and they keep the prices up. So, yeah, it is RICO. It's all kinds of problems. So it's fraud all over the place. But that could be controlled in a once we get an honest system set up. So, again, I don't know enough about licensing,
well,
but we need to move
it's
on.
It's not so much for license. It's you need to have a means of recourse. I mean, you have somebody do something and they don't do it right, you're not going to pay for it a second time.
Right.
They've got to have some kind of bonding, some kind of insurance. You have to have something that you can go ahead and go back out.
Well, I think at some point we'll have to get a committee to go do something to figure out and do an investigation and research and see the necessity of that kind of thing or not before we can say that it's not legal or something. I don't know enough about it.
You don't want to be a bad guy. You know, all of a sudden you start doing things and somebody does something wrong.
I'm sorry, I missed that.
So we set up everything, and now you have these people going on their own, changing things, and then they're going to make it look like National Liberty Alliance is responsible for it. You don't want that to happen. You want to make sure they take their own responsibility.
Yeah, I'm not getting all of what you're saying. I'm getting parts of it. You're just coming in too low. I'm really struggling to hear you. I got my volume up, but. I think it's something about we've got to be careful to control a lot of things that go on in National Liberty Alliance so we don't run into problems. So is something like that?
No, it's In other words, everybody's responsible for their own actions.
Well, absolutely. Right. Right. Absolutely responsible for their own actions. And but anyway, I think we got to move on. We've got a lot of people here. So I think we spent too much time on this subject. So, but thanks for the call. Okay, next call. Gerard, you got to push me along. We haven't got much time left, and we got a lot of people here. So next call, let's try to make it short, 256-812.
John, this is Donald in Alabama.
How you doing, Donald?
Doing great. I'm glad you got
good.
Your resolution punched out there. From what I heard of what you read out of it, and I understand you might make a few small changes. You've
right.
got Alabama's full support.
Great, thanks. It's called a Bill of Information, and we're going to teach people how to do those things because they need to know. You could see the structure. I mean, we got a couple of them up there, so you could probably get a good idea how to do a Bill of Information. But I think we're really, the last two we've done, the one before this and this one, I think we really started to master its use. And particularly this one, you see, we discovered recently that a Bill of Information ultimately is a mandamus. Coming straight from the top dog, which is the grand jury. They have to respond. And you can get in there with an order at the end of it and order them to force the law to be obeyed. And so it's a very interesting way to start controlling and trying to control these people.
Yes, I found it very interesting that you've come up with a new definition, courtatry. Because a baratry was where they bring frivolous and false claims into a court.
Yeah.
Now you've got them bringing it into a false court, so we've got a new word now, courtatry instead of baratry.
Courtatry, yeah. There you go. I like that. Yeah. All right, anything else?
No, just thought that was interesting that that word popped into my head when you said that there was
yeah.
a false court. I said courtatry.
Yeah, I like that, yeah. Okay, let me go to Oklahoma, okay? Thanks
Alrighty.
A lot.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, Oklahoma, you got the mic. Tanner from Oklahoma.
Hey, can you hear me, John?
Got you there. A little bit of a clicking, but go ahead.
Yeah, sorry, I'm using my computer now. Just a couple things. One thing I'll say real quick, because I think it's more of a legal issue on the license. I have a real estate license and a plumbing journeyman's license, and... And here in Oklahoma, they're somewhat lax until you get into certain cities where they're trying to get more money, you know, uppity towns and stuff like that. But anyways, more it's for, like one guy said, education, making sure I don't have to deal with somebody else's mess that doesn't know what they're doing, and oversight just for accountability. But other than that, you know.
Well, it does have its ups. You know, one of the things here in New York, they have to get an underwriter come in for all the work on the electrical because electrical is dangerous and it's appreciated. And that's a good system. So the underwriter comes in and does the inspection. And when he goes through it, you know, he knows he is responsible and liable as much as that electrician should something go wrong. So they're pretty tough here to make
right.
sure that codes are kept up. And so we've never really had problems with electricians that were not licensed, at least not in my business. Now, plumbers, that's a whole different story. But we do have the inspectors that usually catch some of this stuff. But it depends. If you're in the towns, not so much. In the cities, they're a pain in the ass in the opposite way. I think they're really always looking to get greased. You know, they want their palms greased. And so, you know.
It's probably a state issue anyways.
Yeah,
you want to
yeah I think this is something we got to think about, proper licensing. You know, it does have its – look, if you can get an honest system up, if it has a purpose, and I think it does, and you can get an honest system running it, then you're good. Because remember, they better not be doing any wrongdoings because all they have to do is come talk to us and we're going to fix it.
But you ought to grandfather everybody in so they don't, you know, lose their job because they can't keep up with all the changes. But anyways, I don't want to stay on that. Sorry, I got a dog here. My concern is for making progress, I just wanted to get your input on who I should be looking for as individuals to bring in for the different positions and things like that.
Anybody who wants it. They just have to have motivation and desire and go through the process. Nobody become. This is something that we, the responsible people, will enforce. It doesn't have to be me, it's we. And that is that if a person comes into the system and they don't take this course, they don't deserve that job. That job should not be filled. And the two or three or one other, whoever in it, has got to resist them, say no. So we're making it a requirement. You must take the course in order to become an administrator. Now, you could be in the process of taking the course and become the administrator, of course, as long as you're pursuing it, because we're at the beginning of this process, and you know, it's a little bit of a special situation. But once we stabilize and we fill all these positions, for someone else to come in to take that position, they need to go through the course first. Now, they could be on-the-job training, you know, and, you know, sort of a fifth wheel with the four while one's getting ready to retire or leave and the other one's coming in and is doing the course. So that works, you know. But, yeah, people have got to be educated to take this position as an administrator. We will teach everyone they need to know on the procedure and the process, you know, but through videos, how-tos, and what to do and all that stuff. But it's going to require certain knowledge of the grand jury, certain knowledge of the founding fathers and history, certain knowledge of the Constitution and common law. And you're going to get all of that by taking our course.
All right, good deal. That brings me to a kind of more specific deal. I've got, you know, I do Father's Rights Movement here in Oklahoma. It's a national deal, too, and trying to look at how to change things. So I'm meeting, you know, like senators, they want my vote, and they're just trying to get me to go along. Who should I talk to and not talk to whenever it comes to people of position, like legislation and stuff like that?
Talk to them about what?
About what we're doing, basically. I mean, is there, you know, we talk about there's other people that may be trying to undermine us, and you know, we're real public,
right?
It seems like, so I don't feel,
well, look,
I mean,
we're in the light, okay, and so we just operate in the light. I make it a point not to go after politicians, political people, any of those things. I don't go after those people to try to get them interested. I always go look for the liberty minded people, the people who are in liberty groups and are not working for the government, and those are the people you go after, if I'm understanding your question. But those other people are still welcomed. Matter of fact, I just went up today and changed the access, the information on access coming into our system, because I realized, look at it, if a sheriff wants to join us, or even an assemblyman, I don't care who it is, you know, if they want to join us and they come in and then they say, oh, you know, I'm working for the government, I can't. Well, look, why not let them join us? Let them come in. But what they have to do, they have to let us know that they have that position. And everybody, you know, has a, when you come in, you create a, what do they call that, an account and a profile. And in your profile, you must say that you are whatever it is, that you work for the government, then that's what you are. Now, that identifies them as someone that can't be called for the jury, but it allows them to come in and learn to take the course and do these things that they need to become members for in order to do. And so why not let them in? Let them come in. But we still put the disclaimer there. You know, if they're coming in to spy out, that's a felony. And when if we find out, we're going to prosecute them. We're going to take them before the grand jury for prosecution. So you better not be coming in here to spy, to bring back information, because if we find out, we're going to take it to the fullest extent of common law.
Right, and I totally agree with you. I just wanted to run it by you because, you know, I talk to everybody I can. So I just wanted to, you know, see what.
So we did change that. The only people that we barred from joining us, and we put the word, and we may change this, get it even stricter, I don't know. I guess this will be an opinion thing, and we'll see how people think on this. But look, if you're an active bar attorney, do not sign up. You cannot sign up. Now, if they're a bar attorney, but they're not active and they're leaning towards the common law, why not let them in? Because hopefully we'll get rid of their bar, a bar card. But someone who has gone through the system and maybe got that bar card and are not practicing, you know, they may think it's advantageous to keep the bar. Hopefully, we'll convince them, the bar card, we'll convince them to get rid of it. You know, we have to be reasonable. You know what I mean? If they're practicing bar attorney, we do not want them into the site at all. We don't want them to become a member of our site at all, because they got a communist and they wouldn't be working against us. They got a communist attitude. They don't know that, but they do.
Uh-huh. Okay, so retired people not practicing bar, and that's where we draw the line. Then these books that are coming in, I seem to get, whether it's false or true, kind of a receptive or passive take from the sheriffs that I talk to, you know, going in and out of my week in jail and all this other stuff and being around the courthouses. I'm like, hey, I've got some information I want to give you. So who should I prioritize these books to? Would it be more important to give it to the sheriff's offices and those kind of people, or just individuals?
Well, the book is very professional looking. It's got an ISP number. It looks like a Constitution book, and it's authoritative. I mean, you've probably read it already, but when you see it in the booklet form, it's really a pretty. And we do have an actual picture of it up online, but it is authoritative, and it is pretty, and it is impressive, and it does look. It gives the authority. It puts off authority. So when people pick it up, they're going to take it serious because, hey, it's in a book, you know, because people train that way. It's in a book, so we got it in a book. And so we'll use that. And so, yeah, I would give it to every sheriff, every cop you meet. I'd keep a bunch in my car, and you get stopped by a cop and say, hey, you know, let me give you a book on the law, you know. And you have a conversation with a cop or a sheriff or a deputy or anybody. Just give them a copy, a judge, anybody. But ultimately, you know, if your money is restricted, you know, really we want to use this to grow the movement. So I would spend the money and give it out to the people in liberty groups first.
Okay. Liberty groups first, then maybe
right.
Some people will go soft.
Then it depends on what your wallet allows you to do. I mean, and everybody should be buying these books because we really got to get these distributed. This is ammunition. This is our weapon. It's the pen, man, the mighty pen. And it's the pen of great men that are in this book, you know. So people should be ordering these books. You've got to buy 100 minimum. Now, you know, when I made my calculations and everything, I kind of went a little too low. I was trying to do the best I could. I didn't realize how much it was going to cost for shipping and stuff, and I'm working out the best deal I can. But I did go up, and I raised the price by $3 for 100. So it's an additional, instead of $65, $68. That $3 will help to offset, the shipping. And, of course, we need to draw back enough money out of that to make another order of another $50,000 coming up. And, you know, it costs $13,000, $14,000. Actually, it was about $14,000 and change to get these books, 50,000 of them, and to have them delivered. And then we have to ship them out for there. You know, they're coming in tomorrow, and they'll be shipping out starting tomorrow. And so hopefully as we go on, you know, if I can order 100,000, I can lower the price again because I can get 100,000 cheaper than 50,000. And once I stabilize in shipping, maybe I can kick it down again. But bear in mind also, we're paying the money. People should keep the receipts. If you give a check or whatever you purchased with it, there'll be a receipt on the box also. You should keep that because when you get into the process, you should be able to get reimbursed whatever money you spent on these books. And once we get in, the courts are going to pay for these books. And they're also going to pay for constitutional books because we need to go and buy the constitutional handbooks and we need to buy the jurist books. And both of those books is what we want to hand out to everybody, judges, sheriffs, deputies, bailiffs. Every jurist that comes in, all of them need these books. Every single jurist that comes in, grand jury, trial jury, they get these books. This is sort of the Bible of the judicial process. So let me move to the next caller.
John, two things before you go on. One, we have to call Rod and verify the time. It is Wednesday, but I don't see a time.
I lost you.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I said we got to call Rod and verify the time. I got an email here. And so don't let me forget tomorrow. It's too late tonight. We'll call him tomorrow morning. because he set aside Wednesday for sure.
Oh, yeah, you're coming to me to remember, huh?
What's that?
You're coming to me to remember, huh?
Well,
I'll make a note.
You,
Rod Class. Hopefully, I'll see the note.
Right. I got. We have an email there, but I'll call you and we'll get together and figure out what time it is. The other thing is, people are asking, when are you going to post that letter you read, which is going to be very soon, if not tonight, tomorrow, right?
What letter?
The presentment that you read.
You mean, oh, the bill of the true bill of
the true bill, right? Right.
Yeah, bill of information. And
information.
It's a true bill. Yeah. I'm going to post that tomorrow. It's not going to be tonight. It's going to be too late.
Right. So they know that. Okay. So, you know, folks, everybody that asked me, go out, look tomorrow sometime.
Yeah.
Or the next day, whatever. It'll be up there soon, though.
Are we done, Tana? Because I got to move on.
One real quick thing. You can talk about it if you want or not.
Yeah.
I saw something on Glenn Beck about Texas, and maybe it was Ohio or something. The legislators are trying to do something to keep the state sovereign against the federal government. I didn't know if you saw anything about that.
No, we didn't. What legislators are doing this? Any legislators in any state that's doing that, if you can get me information, their names and stuff, we'll think. You know, we'll keep a list and we'll think about what we can do soon to help those guys and work together with them.
Yeah, Texas, and I think it was Ohio, was on Glenn Beck. I saw it on YouTube today. I don't know from when it was, but that's who's doing it.
All right, let's try to bring that subject back up next week. Maybe you could do some research or others can do some research and then bring that information next week to us.
All right, I'll send it to you or figure it out. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Okay, next call is 760. Gerard, you got to move me along. 760.
We're going to put wheels
under
you. Yeah. Is that me, John? You got me?
It's you. You're the guy.
There I am. Well, when I put my hand up to ask a question, it had to do with stuff that's already been answered, so I'll pass.
Okay. So should I go to the next caller?
Go ahead. Have a good night, sir.
Thank you. Okay. We'll dwindle them down. Okay. 209.
418. Good evening, Mr. John. I just want to say thank you very much, and I'll be ordering the booklet.
Okay, great.
And
yeah, I got a lot of them, so people, let's get them ordered, and the faster we sell them, we'll order some more.
Well, I just wanted to know if you got my video I sent you.
I don't recall it, so I probably didn't do it, because I haven't watched the video in a while.
Well,
so
no,
I guess I didn't.
I sent it to your inbox under John Durash and then under National Liberty Alliance on Facebook.
Yeah, I rarely go. Well, Facebook is a delete for me right down the line. I get way too much Facebook stuff and I just can't do it. I'm too busy trying to figure out who's really coming in with questions on NLA or situations or doing business. It's very difficult. Email is not a way to communicate to me, I'll tell you. It's a hit and miss, you know.
Okay.
It's a Hail Mary, you know.
The tax per queue for the free mail, if you just wanted to check it out.
But what is it?
Tax per queue.
Tax for queue?
Well, it's hard to pronounce on here.
Okay. Is this something on the legal side of things?
Yes. Tax per Q, P-E-R-C-U-E, part one.
Okay.
And it gives you samples of people who have mailed things for free.
Oh, yeah. I did get that. I did look at that. So that was a while ago, I think. But I did get it. I'm not going to take. I'm not going to try to do this. What we're doing, because that could create the problem that we don't want, and everything will be dumped, and we'll spend thousands of dollars on papers that will get ultimately dumped or something. So we're just not going to do it on this situation. But I hear you.
That's
true.
I wouldn't want to take a chance on that. I just wanted to get it out there to let people see
right.
it. And,
Well, we definitely got to reduce the cost of everything, and that'll happen when we get back to gold and silver. After all, the United States Constitution for the United States of America requires nothing but gold and silver to be legal tender, and we need to obey that Constitution, so anything else is a wrongdoing, and we're going to have to fix that. But we'll get in more detail of that a little later. But with that, I'd like to move on because I got callers. And you got something real quick?
No, I just wanted to thank you for all that you do.
Well, I appreciate what you're doing, too. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next caller, 530. And I'm going to have to push people through. I apologize because we still got about six or seven callers, and it's 15 minutes left. Maybe we'll go 25 because we do have we did start a little late. Wireless caller, 530.
Hey, John, this is Kelly Z. Mordecai, how you doing? Hey,
how you doing?
Good. You know, I like it when anybody educates the public about the grand jury. And, oh, by the way, Jim Condit, all right? You,
Haven't heard
from
him in a while.
Well, he's running for Congress.
Hey.
He's a doer.
Do you know him? Do you talk to him?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Tell him to give me a call. I don't know where he's at. I've been trying to get him I haven't tried him lately, but I left numerous messages. I haven't heard back from him. I'd love to talk with him.
Well, he's so busy. He's running for Congress in the Constitution Party against John Boehner in Ohio. People, please vote for him.
Oh,
he's a great
for
guy.
Him. Jim is the guy we want in.
Oh, I know. If we could have, like, Congress and Senate filled with that, we would solve so many problems. It's stupid. All right.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've been asked to appear before a grand jury, a federal grand jury.
Mm-hmm.
And this is at an individual's request he's been indicted by, well, essentially he claimed it's perjury by the USA or United States attorney. The FDA didn't follow process, and he's facing 37 years. So he wants me to appear really on two matters. One is tell the grand jury, look, just he wanted to appear pursuant to his right of petition. They denied him. And number two, he just wanted to appear to tell his side of the story. And you will not believe how he's getting railroaded, okay?
Well,
unbelievable.
I believe it.
Yeah.
I see it all day long, every day.
Yeah, he's selling assault. Really? Was anybody harmed? Well, somebody had diarrhea.
Bear in mind, they don't have jurisdiction. The court doesn't have jurisdiction because they're on the wrong side of the court. And, look, why don't you bring this up? Let's discuss this on Thursday, if you can make it to Thursday's meeting.
I might be able to, Yeah, I wanted to give you my phone number here if you give me a call. It's 530.
I can't do that. But you got my phone number. You can give me a call, and you'll hear a message. It'll tell you when you can call me and when I answer the phone because I can't. People are complaining I'm not answering the phone. It's because I can't answer the phone anymore. I can't get anything done if I answer the phone all day. So what I do is I got the Monday call. I'm here for 3 hours. I got the Wednesday, the Thursday call. I'm here for 3 hours on the law, and then we got the Saturday call, which is really things about the Lord. But then the other evenings in between, I'm available like 8:30 or 8 o'clock till midnight or something. So those are the times to call me. During the day, you'll never get me. But I can't take a number to call you back. It's best for you to call me during those times. Or if you're going to talk about legal things and law and a situation and a case, you should do it on Saturday, on Thursday, because other people can learn from this. And it gets
the Thursday call, okay. But Thursday,
yeah.
Okay. Well, I also wanted to talk to you about, you know, my preparation to get in front of the grand jury. And by the way, 18 U.S.C. 1504, the last sentence. That last sentence, you can submit a communication to appear before the grand jury, and there's no penalties. So we're going to use that to help this guy out, to expose this USA who has basically lied and whatever to get an indictment. But
Now let me see. He's trying to get in to talk to the grand jury, and they won't let him?
Oh, this is not the first time it happened. The case in Florida.
No. I'm asking a very simple question. It's very, very important. He's trying to talk with the grand jury, and they will not let him talk to them.
Correct.
Now, it's not that the grand jury is aware of him and saying, no, we don't want to talk to him. It's the fact that he's being blocked and he can't get access.
Daryl Issa, you know, Government House and Oversight Reform Committee, he has said that basically Eric Holder has directed all U.S. attorneys to block petitions to grand juries.
How do you know
so,
that? Do you know anybody that can do an affidavit on that?
William Windsor can.
If you can get that affidavit to me, it'd be very important because
we're
going to do something with this very soon because it has to do with what we're doing, and we want to show the fraud, and we're doing something right now with a few people, and we'll put it together and we'll bring it to everybody and let them know what we're doing. Matter of fact, we'll probably call a meeting about it. But we want to get as many affidavits as we can of any stories or any situations where people cannot get access to the grand jury, that they're actually being blocked, or if they're on a grand jury. We have a guy that's on a grand jury, and he's been blocked. He is the foreman, and he cannot have a private conversation. That they ask to leave. He refuses to leave, the prosecutor. And he sits out there. He's got a couple of deputies sitting out, and they've used the deputies to intimidate this guy.
Whoa,
there's all kinds of problems.
Oh, my gosh. Well, when they call for deliberation, the judge, this is Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure, when they call and deliberate, we're deliberating right now, the prosecutor and the judge has to get out. This is ridiculous.
My point is this, though. They violate all of this stuff, all of it. We've got some heavy-duty, and this isn't the first one. We got another guy with some major problems trying to get in to see the grand jury because he wants to produce a case to the grand jury because he's aware. He's a high-rank individual who's aware of serious situations, and they've blocked him, and they've arrested him. All kinds of things. He's been incarcerated. He's already been tried. He's facing huge amounts of time, and so we're getting his affidavit. We want to get these people to show what they're doing in the fraud, and it's in many states. So anybody that knows anything with anybody that is willing to do a sworn affidavit and tell their story on a sworn affidavit, I want to know about them. I'd like to meet them and talk with them and get that affidavit. And we also will protect these people once we get into power. We'll do habeas corpus. And if we do a habeas corpus and pull them before us, we can release them.
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, you and I are so much on – I'm so excited. I'm tripping over my tongue right now. We are on the same page here because – we know there's grand jury abuse. In preparation, John, in preparation for me to appear before the grand jury, and we're going to do a couple of tricks I can't tell you on over the phone,
uh-huh.
All right? But I'm asking your listeners, check out 18 U.S.C. 1504, the last sentence. The first paragraph will scare the bejeebies out of you, but the last sentence says, look, if you want to communicate to appear before the grand jury, there is no penalty. Okay? Anyway, so we're going to try to get me in front of the grand jury. And we are going to do some things, and I'm going to hand the grand jury, here's the sealed envelope. Here you go. Use a presentment, because the USA doesn't have to sign the presentment. It goes with judges. They'll just say, what the hell are you thinking, Mr. USA? It will start to show all the games, all the manipulations that they're doing in preparation to get, because it's like a chess game, Don. When you get into any kind of legalese, whatever situation, you have, like a chess game, you got to know your next move, and you got to be ready for their next move. So I've been studying the U.S. Attorney Manual. It is frightening. The U.S. Attorney Manual has never been approved by Congress. It's just like, well, this is how we do things around here. Really?
Well,
they're not approved.
Every single government agency has the same thing and the same problem. I don't care where you go, what you do, there's a bunch of people out of control making rules, and they don't have the authority or the power, and they got policies and procedures as they use them as law, and these people that are the people that are dealing with the front end, talking to the people, are talking as this stuff as if it's law. Yeah, it's a problem. Anyway, I got to move on because we got a few more callers and we want
to
get it through.
All right, well, I'll try to hook you up with Jim Conduit. Okay.
Yeah, tell Jim to give me a call. He's got my numbers.
All right, great.
Tell him to give me on Skype. Okay.
All right, great. Great talking.
All right, thanks. Bye. Okay, next call of 503. Was that what we were just talking to, right?
Oh, that was another one. That was from my buddy Troy over there. This is John Cornett.
Yeah, that was the guy, yeah.
Yeah, this is John Cornett. I just want to put a plug in here for hemp. That would be help end marijuana prohibition. You know, I heard someone talk about not doing licensing because it's not a good idea. All due respect, you know, there's stepping stones sometimes to getting where we want to get. And this business of hemp is really, it's called a bellwether issue. That means when it goes, when the adult prohibition for cannabis goes, that means a lot of other things are going to go too, because America's consciousness has been held hostage for decades now. And if we truly want to be free, we have to get behind this hemp issue today. And if we don't...
The hemp, H-E-M-P?
I think it's really important for us to communicate.
Yeah, are you talking about hemp, H-E-M-P?
Yes, hemp.
Marijuana?
Which also stands for, yes, sir.
Hemp. No, it's not marijuana, it's hemp.
Okay, well, whatever. Yeah, we're all for that. Look at, hemp is great. It's great for all kinds of medical problems. We know it's great for making clothes, rope.
Injury will help us in this knucklehead stuff. Is they're oppressing our people left and right and just jacking us up. And look, you know, we need to get behind this issue. We need to get behind this issue.
Well, absolutely. And it has nothing to do with getting behind the issue because we're not
bellwether
political.
Issue.
It has
very
to
relevant
do,
to the freedom.
Yeah,
rule.
But it has to do with applying the law. If
yes,
there is no victim, there is no crime. Hold on a minute. If there is no victim, there is no crime. So if someone gets caught with those things, you can't prosecute them. Look at, some people may get upset with this, but the bottom line, heroin. If someone's caught with heroin, hey, you know, you can't prosecute that person. They're not hurting nobody but themselves. Unless they're corrupting the morals of a minor, it's a whole different story now. But and once you get rid of, once you make that stuff legal, and what happens is a lot of crime disappears. You don't have a lot of organized crimes falls apart. I mean, they're making plenty of money on those kind of things, drugs and stuff, particularly.
All I'm saying is that if we want to prove ourselves, we need to get behind this bellwether issue. That means that
what's the bellwether issue?
Bellwether issue is an issue that so this goes, so goes consciousness. In other words, this is the issue of hemp and or cannabis has been, I think, a major stumbling block in our ability to even call ourselves human beings when we demonize a plant, for God's sake. And we're
we realize we
don't need to talk about this right now because it's not really a freedom issue. Well, it is a freedom issue. This is 100%.
Well, hold it. Listen, I just want to make a certain point on this. We cannot take a position to get behind anything, and I would never tell anybody in LLA to take a position to get behind anything.
How about getting behind citizen grand jury? Now, that's something, and that is...
No, I wouldn't tell people to get behind a citizen grand jury either, you know, with a common law grand jury. Here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. We have to have integrity. We have to be humble.
Integrity.
Hang on one second. By the way, I got to mute you just for a second because I'm getting this feedback. So hang on a minute, and I'll unmute you back. I'll unmute you when I'm done. But here, look it. We cannot take a position openly, okay, in any way, shape, or form, in the name of NLA or in the name of a grand jury. Whether it's a county grand jury, you cannot take a position. We're here to apply the law. We're here to represent the law. We're here to bring justice back into the system. Now, I do get involved in things that is not attached with NLA, okay? I belong to other groups, and I do other things, and not so much anymore, but I do it from time to time because they're important to me, but this is more important. But we don't take those positions. We don't push anything for or against or anything. We just bring forth that which is right and just. Now, what is right and just? Anybody should be able to get it. You are right. It's insane to make a law against a plant and so on and so forth. There's a lot of other plants that you could take and kill you if people eat them or smoke them or do something with them. So we understand that. But we don't have to talk about it. We're going to be doing action because anybody that's in jail for smoking marijuana or having marijuana in their possession, that's a wrongdoing. We got to get them out. You can't put someone in jail if there is no injured party. Nobody was injured. You can't put them in jail. And that's the bottom line. So we agree with you, but we can't take an open stand in the way you're thinking. We'll fix it a lot quicker than any other group can possibly fix it, because they got to go through us in order to indict them. But let me unmute you again now so you could finish up.
Well, thank you very much for saying what you said. I appreciate that. And when I speak of we need to take a stand, I'm talking to individual human beings here. I know there are human beings who hear me, and I know a lot of those human beings are not aware that cannabis actually heals cancer. Did you know that?
Yeah, I think most of the people come to this room know that, because we have that on our website.
Sure. And I've done my job, because that's what I wanted to put out there, that we're demonizing the plant, and so if this
Yeah, we're familiar with the hemp oil, the Canadian guy. We're familiar with also B17, Laetril. There's a lot of stuff out there.
A lot of stuff, but here in the United States, what we have is we have a lot of kids, particularly of certain ethnicities, that have been tarred and feathered for the rest of their natural born days, because people won't talk about it, because they're chicken doo doo to talk about it. You know,
and we understand.
Bullshit. We need to talk about it openly. Thank you very much for hearing. We do agree on your position.
Yeah, you too. We do agree on your position. So
here, God bless.
At least I do anyway. I'll speak for myself.
I'm sure
pretty much everyone on the call agrees. But all right, 661-487.
Yes, on the grand jury books, is there a minimum to order?
100 books.
100? Okay. And then the other thing is for
California. And it's $68, and it covers delivery and everything. Just flat $68. Go to, all you got to do is go out to the website and click on highlight services, and click on Jurist Handbooks, and you'll be able to order them right there.
Okay. And they would all can they go to different addresses or just one address?
Well,
like, say, if a group got together and ordered, 100 of them, but they didn't all go to one place.
No, 100 goes to one place. It costs too much money to deliver. Yeah. So, but you'd have to disperse them. So.
Okay. All right. And then the next one is for California. There's several people on there that should not be removed from the list that are involved in family court matters. In California,
yeah.
It was mentioned in the very beginning of the call, something about removing some of the people that they can't get a hold of.
Yeah, what happens is the phone numbers are disconnected, and I told them to contact them by email. We should try to find out if they're real people and if they're, what's going on. Anybody that we did end up removing, that if they came back and re-registered, they'd get in again. We're not going to block them. But if they use a different email, then, it doesn't matter. They'd be able to get them. And even the same email, it doesn't matter.
Okay,
but,
I've been in contact with them.
Okay.
And so that's what I'm saying. I've been in contact with them.
You've been in contact with people whose phones don't work, but you contact them by email, maybe? Okay. All right, work that out.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll rethink that and just leave them in there. If it's a phone number that's not working on a county coordinator, then organizer, shall I say, or a state coordinator, let me know and we'll just remove them from those positions. Maybe that's all we should do. And they'll still
it's
stay.
Just an organ. They're organizers. They're not coordinators.
Okay. Yeah, we should just remove them from the list so that no one calls a number that's not working. And they can always come back in and become an organizer once they get a phone back up again. That's all. No big deal.
Okay.
But you're probably right. Yeah, I don't think we should remove them. I'm going to rethink that. It's rethought. I agree.
Yeah, because they're involved. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Okay. Next caller. Let's see. 718 number. We're getting close. 718-808. Sarah?
Hi. Yes. Hi, Joe.
I'm going to try to make it quick, okay? So, but go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to reiterate to everybody that we have to really stand firm. This is will over matter. We're standing in truth. And we have more people in National Liberty Alliance than the Founding Fathers had. So we should be very grateful that such an opportunity exists, that we're all together in this.
Well, amen. Thank you. Anything else?
No, that's it.
Okay.
Be proud of yourself.
All right, thanks, Sarah. Okay, next caller, 828-284. I'm starting to see light at the end of the tunnel here. Okay, 828-484.
Hey, John, this is Jay from North Carolina.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Okay, I just want to say something about the lawyers and licensing and that kind of thing. No state can take your right and turn it into a privilege and charge you a license and a fee for it. So I think licenses are totally out.
Well, I kind of agree with you.
My suggestion on that would be to make them take a common law course. They went through how many years of schooling to learn rules, regulations, statutes, and codes, and they could be common law certified.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you, especially with being a lawyer, because let's think about that. Practicing law is a different... Yeah, you can't do it. Matter of fact, no lawyers are licensed anyway, so it doesn't matter. We're not going to continue. We're going to continue that idea, and no lawyer should be licensed.
Right, but they should be common law certified so that you know that they know the common law.
Well, we could do something like that. Maybe we can set something up where they can become common law certified, and it's up to the people to realize that that's what they need to look at that certificate or something, but if we can't enforce it. But,
yeah.
I agree.
And the other thing, John, is do you know about media mail?
Media mail, yeah. Matter of fact, I'm looking into that right now. Save a lot of money on shipping. Yes.
Okay. Well, when I sent DVDs to people, you know, I handed out 45,000 DVDs, and I'd send them 10 DVDs at a time. Well, each DVD was a first class stamp. So if I sent somebody 10 DVDs, I had to put 10 first class stamps on it, or I could send it media mail up to a pound for $1.50.
Yeah, well, yeah, I was looking at it. It's a lot cheaper, but, you know, we're sending more than a pound. 100 books is 7 pounds, okay? It's
yeah.
6 1/4 pounds, so it's 7 pounds.
Yeah, but it is a lot cheaper.
Absolutely is a lot cheaper doing it that way than sending it as other packages. I've looked at FedEx. I've looked at Parcel Post.
Yeah.
I've looked at, of course, the post office. And then the media mail in the post office. So, yeah, that's probably the route we're going is media mail. And sometimes that gets there quicker than they say. You know, media mail is going to take 5 to 7 days, I think they said. But it is
quicker than what they say. I always had things show up in 2 or 3 days.
All the time, absolutely. I order everything on the cheap one, you know, the cheap side, that which says they're going to take 7 to 10 days, and I always get it in 2 or 3 days. What I think is really happening is that it's the lowest priority. So if they don't have room on the truck for something, that's the mail that's not going to get on the truck. Or if they don't have room on the plane, that's the one that's going to miss that plane. And but I think it's rare that they don't have room. So it cuts you a trick anyway.
But under the guidelines of media mail, there can't be anything personal in there. There can't be a personal letter or anything like that, and it's subject to search. And as long as it's DVDs, magazines, books, or videos, it's media.
Right.
So.
We're not putting any communications in there anyway, but, and it's booklets, and that's why we did qualify for that, I guess. Because I did check that out today, so we're going to be able to reduce a few bucks here or there on that. And my biggest concern is to make sure we get enough money that by the time we run out of these 50,000 books, that we are able to order another 50,000, and actually before we run out, because it takes a couple of weeks to get the order through.
Okay, now you just said to a couple callers ago that you can go online and order now?
No.
Without having to send a check?
No, not yet. I told them to go to a page where they could do it, but no, I haven't gone to that yet. I don't know what it would cost on the credit card, but again, a couple of bucks starts to hurt the budget again, and so it's
right.
a little difficult, you know.
I have to send you a check.
At this point, yeah. The other thing is I only have the one credit card system set up through PayPal, which ties in for the money we collect, for instance, as membership, and that shows up on the goal, for instance, that we're doing from time to time. Right now, we're at 38% of our $8,000 goal that we're looking for, and if people started buying books through that, it's going to blow that out. So I'd have to do another account, and I got to figure things out. I'll get time. I'm going to sit down and think it out and see what I can put together. So I can make it quicker, because it would be nice to be able to do it quicker. So.
Okay. Well, that's.
You know, maybe what I'll do is this: if they charge me $3 or $2 for the service, I'll set a credit card up, and if it charges, be able to take credit cards. If they're charging me $3 for it or something like that, well, I'll pass that cost on to the person buying, and then they'll have the option to save that $3 by mailing it. A check
right.
or a money order. So
right.
I'll try to work something out. You know what I mean?
Okay.
So.
Thanks, Tim.
All right. Anything else?
Okay. No, that's
yeah,
it.
I should move on anyway because we still got a few more callers. So. Good talk. Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Someone just fell out of the queue. So if you want to get back in, I accidentally hit the button twice. Right now it's 570.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. You read the thing that you're going to file to the course. Do you have that document available now?
It'll be available tomorrow. I'll get it up tomorrow morning. It'll be on the news page.
Okay, so is that gonna be up at the website?
Yeah, it'll be up on the news page on the website. Yes.
News page. Okay, because I would.
Yeah,
like
just
to
click on
it.
News, and it'll be on the top.
Yeah, I am coming in, and I'm going to the counter to the United States of America with officials. They violated my rights, so I would like to. There's a very good cases that I would like to use in the document. Second of all, the territorial jurisdiction. Basically, U.S. Attorney criminal resource manual. Very, 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 very good manual. You gotta read that on the all about the admiralty. What it says is a jury has to determine the territorial jurisdiction after all the facts in front of them. So that's what it says also in that manual. So that will throw a lot of federal cases out of the court because they have to...
if you can get them to obey their own rules...
Yeah, they have to. Yeah, especially U.S. attorney is the one who is actually indicting the people
mm-hmm.
in their courts. So
well, that's interesting. It's interesting that you say the United States attorneys actually indict the people because what you said is true. But really, they look for the signature of a foreman to claim as if they've done it. But what you're saying is true. It is that it is the prosecutor that does the indictment. And people even think that, when a prosecutor, I can indict a ham sandwich. That's a shame for that person to say that. That's horrible. What do you mean?
Yeah, so
you
basically,
can't indict anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But they do.
So U.S. attorneys are coming in indicting on behalf of the United States of America.
Right.
And U.S. attorneys, they do not even read their criminal resource manual. So people has federal cases must read that for them to have the territorial jurisdiction, and plaintiff must be they have a burden to prove. So they have to prove that they have a jurisdiction on that land, and there's a number of things about the territorial jurisdiction, which is either they have to buy the land, and they have to purchase it with money. Mm-hmm. And they also have to purchase with the money for the usury right. If they are going to not buy the land but just the usury right, then the usury right, there's two things. They could buy the usury rights, and then they could actually relinquish the state statutes, legislature, so that state cannot use this legislature, which means if a state has the legislature rights, they cannot pull people into the federal court. It has to go to the state court. Even the federal government has a usury right. Okay, mm-hmm. Do you see that? There is a usury right that they could use the land, but also the state has to consent that the state is relinquishing their legislature power.
I'll have to look into that a little bit. I can't comment on it at the moment. And why don't we bring that up on Thursday on the war night? Because a lot of people know that we really want to get into the episode.
I want you to. It's not a big. It's not a lot of information. You can just go look at a U.S. attorney, a criminal resource manual. Section 666 and Section 1630, okay, 1630. Yeah. Okay, 666 is all about the admiralty.
Yeah, isn't that all about the devil? I mean, 666?
Yes. I was like, wow, look at this, you know. And
you think they do that on purpose?
Okay?
They probably do.
I know, it's incredible. Yeah. And so people really
They love that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah, Freudian slip there, right?
So people really should look into anything that is case law related to federal enclave. Okay, so go to Google.
When they came up with
federal.
That number, I'm more interested in the number. When they came up with that number, they were poking us in the eye with that, you know.
Okay, yeah. And so. Another thing is I would like to actually come in with a grand jury indictment when I present this criminal case. Mm-hmm. So I would like to have like 25 people hear the case and
well, you can get that as soon as we're in the courts and we stabilize the states, then we'll open up to the people for regular court cases, and we'll do that. There are a couple exceptions to that, and I'm going to make the case on what those exceptions might be, and maybe some other people might make a case on exceptions too. So we'll talk about that in the near future. We're not ready to get into that kind of a conversation, but. You know, there are certain things that certain cases that we're going to want to take on prematurely, and because it'll fortify what we're doing and it'll strengthen us, and that's why I would want to do certain cases. Also, we're in a state of emergency. You know, if we had come into power already, and we were in a position where we could indict and have the authority in the courts, particularly. I would try to make the case in certain emergencies, like this thing with the Ebola. You know, they brought this individual into the United States with Ebola. And by the way, I heard on the news today that someone in New York City has Ebola. They got the disease. So it's in America now, and these people brought this. You know, someone in government made the decision to bring these people in. Who are these people? You know. So those people need to have been indicted for doing that.
The people that bring this, and also the government is not stopping it, and they are crime together.
Right. They're participating. All right, I got to go because I got a couple more people. And if you want to pick this back up on Thursday, that'd be good.
Yeah, so I am coming in as a counterclaim because they're trying to indict me for six to.
Well, no, don't come in as a counterclaim. Just go in as a plaintiff. We'll talk about that on Thursday. Look at the whole. You're in the foreign court, so they don't really have. They got a court not of record. You open a court of record.
Yeah,
you're the plaintiff.
Not a counterclaim, but is it going to be a claim?
They got a claim, you got an action. two different animals. Mm-hmm. So talk about it on Thursday, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. Okay, before any more people get into this thing here, 845, what's it, 8541?
Hi,
John. Is that you? How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good. I want to hit on 2 points. The Ebola.
Yeah.
It's real serious.
Mm-hmm.
They are putting it all over New York. It's supposed to be quarantined. They're deploying army, but there is an antidote, and it's called colloidal silver.
Yeah, colloidal silver.
10 ppm.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and the best way to take that, you should drink it, but you should also take it in through a nebulizer. Is that right, Gerard, a nebulizer?
Yeah, nebulizer. You inhale it.
Yeah, you inhale it. Right, as if you have, you can also put a drop of oregano oil in, which is a good antibiotic, also a natural antibiotic, and the eupalypsis, that's good to put in there, drop it at, and then of course you fill it up with the little cup. You fill it up with the silver, sovereign silver, and
right.
Yeah. If it's in your neighborhood, you're going to want to be sucking that down bare minimum once a day. I would do it 3 times a day, man.
Listen, Ebola is not an airborne virus, just so you know. You have to touch. You have to touch a droplet. Somebody has to cough in your face.
It's like AIDS.
Or if you're cleaning up blood or vomit
blood,
from somebody that has it. So I don't know that it's going to spread. I think it's more of a psyop. Look, Obama declared a pandemic with the H1N1 virus, which is a bunch of nobody had it. Nobody was getting it. But look, they need a false flag. They're looking for one or two people to die. That's all. Look, they're not going to bring a virus over here that maybe they could get. They'll never do it.
Well, they're not getting it.
Well, they wouldn't get it anyway.
They created it.
Yeah, but, look, they got grandkids and they got other people, too. So I think it's
more
psyops.
That. Look what they're doing to this planet. I'm not giving them no credit. And number two, I'm not giving them nothing because they're destroying everything.
Well, if we
now,
get an opportunity, they'll swing from a rope.
I'll tell you what. You know what? That's going to happen anyway. If people don't get up and do what they need to do. Now, another thing is District of Columbia. When you were saying that they needed to have unalienable rights, number one, they are not real. They are treasonous.
Right.
District of Columbia should not exist with our Constitution.
That's right.
I mean, it's like oil and water. It's like negative and positive.
Right.
They should have nothing.
10 square miles. You're absolutely right.
And 10 square miles. And then Ebola, they're talking about quarantining New York. No, they need to quarantine Washington. 10 miles around the White House.
Yeah, quarantine.
The District of Columbia needs to be quarantined. That's the only disease we have. So on that note, I will say goodnight, guys. Thank you so much, and God bless.
You too. Thanks for the call.
All right.
Okay. next caller, 732.
Hi, John.
And
how are you
I
doing?
I want to make it quick. Almost 12:30. I want to go to sleep, but go ahead.
Okay, real quick. I just wanted to know, as far as those sworn affidavits, is there an address, specific address that they sent to? That you
about? Go out to the donation page, and on the bottom you'll see an address, a place to send anything to. That's where you would send it. So, anybody that's got a good sworn affidavit concerning a crime, concerning particularly with the grand jury.
Okay. And the other
being
one was,
able to get access to them, and or being part of the system, and whatever you can get, we can use it.
Okay. And the one other thing, I had ordered the books, but I had only put the 65 in, so I need to send the other three before I can get those books?
No. I'm not going back to people who've already paid. No, that's done. Don't worry about it.
All right. That's it.
All right. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Two more callers and I can go to sleep. 406 Wireless, 223.
Hey, John, how you doing? It's Anthony from West Virginia.
Good. How you doing, Anthony?
I'm doing good. I'm just calling in to say good night, basically. Listening to you all night, and I don't really have a real question. I just wanted to touch base and say hi.
I'm glad all over.
Yeah. So I've been on vacation for a couple of weeks, a couple of Mondays, but I did catch up to the cows. And is the Thursday night call or a Tuesday night call you have now? Is that
the Monday night call is obviously this call. We have a Thursday night call, which is law. And we have a Saturday night call, which is 7 o'clock in the evening for the Bible. We do a Bible study now.
Yeah.
And we have also a Tuesday night call for a national leadership call, and that's run by Roger from down in Florida. And then all the states should be doing their state calls on Wednesday. And this way we don't interfere with the other calls. You don't want to do a call before a call or after a call because it's too much to ask people to do on one night.
Yeah, it is. Okay, well, we're on track here in West Virginia. We're keeping our ear to the rail, and I really like your Saturday. I listened to one of the Saturdays, the introduction of that, one of the Saturday Bible studies. That's really great.
Right.
I finally got my wife to listen to the opening of Monday Night Calls because she's been like a naysayer. And I got to tell you, your presentation of the Bible at opening with that really got her attention. And we listened to a couple of the Monday calls, at least parts of them, while we were on the road. And you made a fine impression on her, and I'm really glad because now she's opening up a little bit. So, anyway, God is
good.
So
she's waking up.
Yes, she is.
She's waking up, huh?
She's quite alert, but she just isn't sure about what we're doing. She needs a little bit more.
Yeah, I know. It takes a little while. Just got to pay attention for a little while and should catch on. So.
Well, God bless you, and have a good night, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye-bye.
Okay, the last caller of the night, 570309.
Oh, I last thing, actually, I forgot, was the Title 36 USC, Chapter 705 is about the foundation of the Federal Bar Association, and Section is 70503. Basically, what he says is if our attorneys, the members, basically overthrow the government by force or violence or refuse to uphold and defend the Constitution of the United States, they are terminated.
Okay, now give me that code again.
36 USC.
USC 36. 705.
The whole thing, you got to read that. So section
705-0.03. Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Section 705.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to look that one up. That's interesting. I might even get that into the paper.
Yeah, so basically if they do not uphold the Constitution, they are terminated right there on the spot, basically. So they have
to... We're going to have to remind them. Okay. Matter of fact, we should send a copy of this to every attorney in America, and then we can get rid of all of them.
Exactly.
They'll be calling us the Terminator.
The problem is there's millions of them.
What is the Bible study number?
Well, we're doing the book of Revelation. We just started. We did an introduction.
What's the number?
Same number right here at 7 o'clock.
It's 7 o'clock in the evening?
7 o'clock on Saturday in the evening on Eastern Standard Time. And it's the same number here as this. And we'll be broadcasted from Shake and Wake Radio Network. and we're simulcasting into the room, but we will be able to take the calls in the room because I'll be live connection anyway. So we'll take calls in the room because we have an open forum after the Bible study. So we could take calls in the room, and we also will be taking calls off the radio.
Okay.
So.
All right, great. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, that ends the evening, and Lord willing, we'll see everybody next Monday. And again, keep involved, bring more people. Let's get this thing going. It's time to wake up. It's time to go forward. And again, if you can, come to the law night. I know it's asking for a lot, but even if you come for an hour or so, that'd be good. So you'll learn something about the common law and process and procedure. And also, the most important thing is our Saturday night, 7 o'clock Bible study. We have to grow there. All right. Good night. God bless everyone.
John,
thanks.
John.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
I put Rod's contact information in your Skype in case I forget to get a hold of you earlier.
Leave it up to
all
me.
Right.
Yeah.
No, listen, I'll probably call
you. I'll leave the orange dot. I'm not going to go look at that one. So.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let me get out of here before...
Okay. Yeah, good night.
Yeah, well, another person, come on. I'll give you 30 seconds, 284. Go right ahead.
Hey, John, this is Jay from North Carolina.
Oh,
I just wanted
to
say,
you, a troublemaker.
every week there's about 200 people on this call. Let's try to bring everybody on this call. Try to bring one new person next week.
Right.
Let's
exactly.
Get it up to 400.
Well, actually, we're getting well over 300, with 350, somewhere around that. Some people don't say the whole thing, and then some people come in late. So we do pretty well on the call with numbers.
Okay.
So, but we do need to double. We need to triple. Look, we should have 3,000 people on this call.
Yep.
So.
Okay, that's
okay,
all I
Jay,
have.
Okay, Jay, get off my phone.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Bye-bye.